power of this very strength.
Lapine City Council work session of Wednesday, June 9th, 2010 is called to order at 5:35 p.m. We'll start with roll call, please, starting with City Recorder.
City Recorder Luana Damerval.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Councilor Don Brainer.
Mayor Kitty Shields.
Councilor Del McAfee.
And Councilor Barbara Hitchens.
Councilor Douglas Ford.
Administrative Assistant Patty Morgan.
Thank you. All council and staff are present. So, we will move on to our agenda item for the work session, which is discussion of interim city manager employment agreement. Did you have anything you wanted? Everyone got the agreement. We've all had
ample time to look it over, I trust.
Does anyone have time to look it over? Any comments, questions?
I have a comment. I got this off, but as soon as it was emailed out, printed it out, I've read it at least twice, gone over everything item by item, and I think it's an excellent agreement, and it works for both us and our proposed Mr. Allen, interim city manager.
I agree 100% with what Don just said. This works for both of us, both parties. I think it's very appropriate.
Councilor Hedges, anything?
No, I have no comments on it.
Well, I have several, of course. Okay, so section 1.2, and it refers to employers, city council, so that would be collectively the five councilors?
Sure. Okay.
Okay, and so are we going to discuss the terms of agreement?
We need to discuss that now.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's blank currently in section 4.1 because there was a range, I believe, as far as the anticipated length of Rick's employment. I heard anywhere from 3 to 9 months. So we can talk about that now as to what anticipated term we believe Rick will be serving in the interim position.
In my recollection, I think we anticipated that it was going to, just by its nature, would automatically end up being a minimum of 6 months. Does that fit with everyone else's sense of what?
Yeah, originally I think that was the discussion, but then when I was thinking about it, then that would bring it to the middle of December. So if the if there'll be a new city council elected, then that would there might be too much change for that, you know, that beginning of the year. So why not stretch it out if you're in agreement to possibly February? So that gives everyone a chance to kind of get used to things and not have so much change.
It's fine. You know, 9 months is fine. You know, it's a 30-day notice.
Yeah.
So the reality is, if I got to 10 months and I couldn't stay any longer, if you got to 10 months, I would tell you, and vice versa. In other words, I mean, so you may be tired of me in 60 days. You know, so it is a 30-day notice. So I don't know that that date makes that much difference if it's 6 months, 9 months. But whatever you're comfortable with. But I agree, maybe December is, you're probably not going to get a city manager to move on the 15th of December.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a new council coming, city managers will want to know the consistency of the council. And if they see a big change in the council, then they may be reluctant to come take a job. That's just the politics of someone coming to take a high-level job. So your point's well taken.
And I, for what it's worth, I agree with Adele as well. I think we should go, if anything, longer than shorter, because we do have the flexibility to shorten that up. And frankly, we also have the flexibility to extend it if, in fact, it was warranted.
Okay. So basically, it's just for the sake of putting a number in there?
For now. It's a range.
It's a range, yeah.
So I say February.
So that would be February 28th. Does that work?
Yeah.
Rick?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
How many months is that?
It's eight.
Okay, I have another question on 5.6 on page 4. That last sentence, I don't understand what that means.
The rule of construction,
uh-huh.
That sentence? It's an interesting question. In general, when you have one party prepare a document, mm-hmm. if there were any ambiguities associated with that document, oftentimes a judge will interpret the document, any ambiguity, against or contrary, adverse to the drafter. The idea being that the drafter controls the pen, and therefore if there is a vagueness or an ambiguity, it should be construed against the drafter. What this is saying, standard boilerplate language, this is saying that that judicial discretion will not be exercised.
Okay.
Adela, is the first time I've got that question. That's interesting.
And then one comment is that for the signature block, I think that instead of just the mayor, that it would possibly be all the city council, because it is an agreement with collectively all of us.
If you want to, that's fine. I mean, legally, the only thing that is necessary is the mayor, assuming that mm-hmm. you authorize her to sign it. But if you'd like, I mean, if you want to take on a different statement, or mm-hmm. that's fine, absolutely.
I don't have any problem with it.
Everyone signing it?
Typically, the mayor does sign all of the city documents, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, it's a message. I think Adele's sending a message that the entire council stands behind this.
Right, and that's what I was saying. It doesn't have to be that way. We can, if we want everyone to sign it, we can do that. Consensus on that?
Make any difference.
Okay. Take that as a consensus then?
Okay.
We'll
just a couple of my things.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule, one point on the schedule, on number one, we don't understand what it says, provide general management and administrative services. General management and administrative services include, without limitation, planning, evaluating, coordinating, and supervising employer. What does that mean?
Employer is defined as the city of La Pine, so it'd be the city.
So they'd be kind of like just management of the city.
Exactly.
Okay. In number four, about the purchasing.
Yep.
It says purchase goods and services subject to budget appropriations. And should we add in there and public contracting and procurement practices?
Without question, he's going to be subject to those requirements. So yeah, I have no problem adding that in there. It's applied regardless. But it's interesting you bring that up, because this is an item that Rick and I did not have a chance to discuss. My recommendation, and I don't know how Rick feels about this, would be to identify a specific threshold under which Rick can enter into contracts independent of the city council. I'm sure Rick would prefer that, because right now, I don't know what budget appropriation is necessarily. You know, budget appropriation is whatever's been budgeted, you know, as far as what's been approved by the city council. But one thing that, for example, Luana continues to suffer or experience is not knowing what her threshold is as far as the expenditure of city funds. And so I have no problem including the language that you proposed, Adele, but also beyond that, identifying a specific threshold under which Rick can expend city funds.
That's a good idea.
Sound good?
Yeah. I mean, you'll need to come up with some number. I don't know what it is.
Let's talk about it.
You had two city managers, so did you have that before?
Not exactly. We have one city manager. I think the public contract, you have the public contracting rules with you here. Ours. Do you mind giving? I think it's up to $5,000. And so, you know, I would start at the highest, I'd say $5,000, and go down from there.
But yeah, I agree we should have that discussion now and get a decision made.
Otherwise, Rick's going to feel like he's in limbo and have to come back to you to make these decisions that I think should be more of an administrative nature.
So we can move on I just have one more. Number eight, attend all council meetings unless excused by city council. And we should add or mayor so he doesn't have to get a consensus.
Perfect.
Okay.
Good comment, Adele. Should we wait for Luana to come back? It'd be nice to talk about that threshold number now.
Well, let's start with 5,000. I think that that's what it is, and if that's what it is, that's the number. That would be my input, was to make it 5,000.
Yeah, I think that's pretty standard.
I do too. Do you have it?
Yes. Councilor Hedges?
Yes.
Input on that?
No, I don't. That's fine with me. 5,000.
Okay. Councilor Ward?
No, I'm not agreeing with that.
What if we find out the threshold's 10,000? You want to go that high?
It's not.
It's not.
It's 5,000.
Anybody that wants to sit down, we have some more chairs over here.
Are you going to find a place to live nearby?
Well, I won't be living here, because I'm only here a day or two a week.
Okay.
So I'm at a motel.
But if, okay, so if you get reined in.
Rained
in January.
No, I plan on staying here when I'm down here.
Okay.
But it's a part-time job, mm-hmm. So I can't afford to move full-time for a part-time 6-month job. But I do plan on staying tonight. I won't drive back and forth unless mm-hmm. for some reason I had to. So like I'm for 2 nights. I'm down here at this motel.
Okay.
But if someone ends up with a mother-in-law apartment or something. I also am going to camp at like the Berry Crater and some of the places I haven't been because I'm very outdoors type. Mm-hmm. And so I'll enjoy the southern Deschutes County area while I'm here.
So you're going to bring proper attire?
Oh, I have proper attire. My pickup's out there right now. The refrigerator should have a tent because I'm going to be back till Sunday. So, but that was my plan. I did look on Craigslist for some rentals and things, but. Yeah, it is $5,000.
Okay.
So anything less than $4,999.99.
All right.
Concurs? All right.
Yes.
$5,000 for everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. It's probably given that he will be having check signing abilities. What about the credit card? Do you want to supply a credit card?
I just assume not having a credit card.
Okay.
Credit cards cause people nothing but problems.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm paying for my own motel I'm here anyway, so it's not reimbursed, so I'm paying for it. And same with mileage, just so people know.
Okay.
You're not covering that. So, but, you know, if I travel for you somewhere, I will just use my own credit card and reimburse.
Off of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't want a credit card.
Okay. That was an answer to the question.
So do we turn in the credit card that we have?
Pardon?
do we turn in the, what is it, you use a debit card? Are you trying to keep that, or?
Well, if I don't have a credit card, then I can't buy dinners and all that stuff that comes with stuff that needs to be done.
No, the city has a credit card. It was, the question was, do we add Rick on to that, and he does not want it. Yeah. But yes, check signing privileges, and certainly we would need our manager to have to be a signator on the checking account, I would think.
It would save staff time having to go get signatures as well.
True.
Okay, I was just confused on whether they are both going to purchase or if just Rick is going to be purchasing.
That will probably...
He has to have the credit card.
I think that's one of the reasons why we're hiring a manager is to sort out these administrative questions for us, correct?
I mean, yeah, you're going to want to keep... the city wants a credit card, whether you lock it in a safe. I'm just saying is I don't need it in my wallet.
Right.
So the question really is, should the city have a credit card? It's, I don't need it, but you do need one. Because, like she said, you may go to the League of Oregon cities, you have to charge your motels and whatever. Mm-hmm. Just normal things, I think. So you would want to keep it in the recorder or your safe. Or, I mean, I'll learn all of this, Mrs. Hedges, once I get hired. But, you know, so I think, you know, as far as the check cashing and that, all of that, I'm assuming I would sign, but then that's one of the things, once you guys talk to me about what you want to do, I would look at this whole, how you do bills. And I don't know how you do bills. So if you have a voucher system or what you have, so.
Okay. And then.
So we'll work all that out.
Right. And, you know, we need to, the things that are administrative policy are the kind of things that you would be setting up for us.
Who signs it out?
It takes two signatures.
Right.
All the counselors have signing authority, and I do.
So is it usually you and one of them?
Yeah, a lot of the times, except for payroll.
Yeah. Okay, so we will be going to the bank and getting a signature card too. That's assuming we actually vote to hire you. We haven't done that.
So I'm not
going to
say it.
I think you're stuck with us whether you want us or not. Okay. Any other things like that, Luana?
No.
Anything else?
That was the only immediate thing that I just thought of. The rest of it can be done.
Counselors, anything else come to mind for right now?
No. This is the first time at this high-level position that there hasn't been any supplemental anything come. So this is it, just the agreement to consider?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I think that's because we don't, part of the reasons, one of the chores that we have assigned to our interim manager is to help us with our internal structure. So we'll be doing a lot of discussion and, you're doing a lot of assessing.
Right.
And,
it's a contract, but I'm an employee. So.
Adele, what do you mean exactly by supplemental?
Usually, when after a the whole process goes, usually letters come in or things. And I was just wondering if this is all that we're having to consider, just the employment agreement. Is that correct? So there was nothing else submitted then? So you said you already answered no, and then you answered no.
Yeah, I guess I'm just confused as to what other documents. We're only signing an employment agreement today.
Right, okay.
Do you know of any other documents you have to sign today?
Roger, I don't know what documents you're talking about.
Okay.
So. But, I mean, obviously I'll be signing all
the W-2 and all that type of jazz.
Our insurance representative has a question. I guess there's...
Well, no, I'm just going to say the only other documents I could think of would be in the event that they're going to provide any benefits that are, you know, like the health or life insurance opportunities, in which case that would be supplemental.
Right.
Yes, again, I don't know what that's...
And that's not...
We're not providing any benefits under the agreement.
I didn't take any benefits.
Okay.
Make it easy.
Okay. Any other questions on completion of the document? And it all, the concurrence with all,
yep,
all that?
Looks fine.
The decisions they made? So, the next question is, could we move this forward to the regular session to appoint our interim city manager? If you know what the completed document is going to look like, and we could appoint tonight. We don't have a complete and finalized document for signature tonight, but could we also immediately start employment?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Well, why not? If you want to move it to the regular session, I've got no objection to it. Legally, there's no objection to it.
Okay.
If you all are ready to rock and roll, that entered into an effect, it could be today's date from my perspective.
So let's move it.
You want to do that? Okay.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yes. On today's date, huh?
Today's date. It's just on Friday night. Yep.
Going to work in the next few minutes here.
I was at the fire station and met the fire chief and assistant chief before I came here. I've already worked.
Okay. I guess we'll cover the details of that then when we move into our regular session agenda. Did anyone have anything else they wanted to bring up during the work session? Rhonda, did you have anything?
Oh, yes, I did have one question. During our budget committee, or budget meeting, it was discussed about the payment schedule for Terminix for that contract, paying it full this year before the fiscal year ends will create a over $300 discount, and it's only about $7,000 or something like that. I've got it in my house.
$7,296.
Okay. So, anyway, the money's there. It just seems more correct to pay that all up this year and have the discount than string it out. And I just wanted kind of permission from the council to go ahead and do that.
Like a good fiscal decision to me.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Move forward with that then. Thank you.
All right.
That was all I had.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone? Okay, with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn the work session.
I so move.
I second it.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Kakich, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Work session is adjourned at 6 p.m. Lapine City Council regular meeting of Wednesday, June 9th, 2010 is called to order at 6:21 p.m. Start with roll call, please.
City Recorder Luana Damerval.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Councilor Don Brenner.
Mayor Kenny Shield.
Councilor Gil McAfee.
Councilor Barbara Hill.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
Mr. Assistant Patty Morgan.
Thank you. We have all staff and council present, so we will continue on. I'll go ahead and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next item is number four, added agenda items. And then the work session just prior to this meeting, we decided that we can and will make the appointment of our interim city manager this evening, that we can enter into and make effective that agreement. So on the agenda it says added agenda items that we discussed during the other matters portion. However, we have three added agenda items. I'm going to exercise the option to do it or such other time selected by the City Council, if I may. With Council consensus, I would like to add those three added items now, take care of them. It's the appointment of the interim city manager, the neighborhood naming contest awards, so that people don't have to sit around and wait if they don't want to, and the TR committee membership appointments.
Fine.
Just go ahead and do fine. Those now. Okay. Does anyone want me to go through those again? Okay. I'll just do it real quick. 4A will be appointment of interim city manager. 4B, neighborhood name contest awards. And 4C, TRT committee membership appointments. Member appointments. Okay. Okay, with that then, we will move on to...
Just one more thing. Probably this doesn't have to be distinguished, but on number 11 under the city charge discussion, just the at-large or expanding the definition for... considering the council description to be outside of the city limits.
Okay. So, at large, yeah. Councilor discussion. Yeah, okay. And that will be part of that discussion, the charter discussion. Okay. We'll move on to the appointment of the interim city manager. In the work session, we went over the terms of the contract and agreed on all the terms so that the contract can be finalized. And we also had consensus that we would like to enter into this agreement and this appointment effective as of tonight, Wednesday, June 9th, 2010. I also remembered one other thing, and what did I do with that? We did have a conflict of interest issue that's been taken care of, whereas the City of Lapine's law firm is the same law firm that has in the past or maybe still represents Rick Allen.
And so we have completed this conflict of interest.
You want me to explain it?
Yeah, if you would.
So most of you probably know that our rules of ethics, an attorney's rules of ethics, prohibit us from representing two clients adverse to one another. So as a precautionary measure, our rules of ethics require one party to, well, actually both parties, to consent to a representation in this particular situation. We can only represent one party. And here the firm is representing the city and not Rick. And so what we did in this case and what we've done in the past is had an actual letter signed by the mayor and obviously the adverse party acknowledging and consenting to the representation. It's a formality, but it's critically important under our rules of ethics.
And it suddenly dawned on me that I wasn't sure once I got that signed if it had been emailed out to everyone. Did you know, Patty?
I didn't have any involvement with it.
You didn't have? Okay.
It's been done before, and this is the procedure, the process that we've gone through. So, nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay, so in the event that the city in the future decides to go out for an RFP for, let's say, for other legal services, so would you have an issue with that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, my involvement with them is some business stuff in Jefferson County. So mm-hmm. I've had no business dealings in Deschutes County that involve him. And Neil Bryan, who's principal, one of the principal in the firm, I worked with Neil also on Deschutes, mm-hmm. and Bob Loveland and Jeremy a lot. So I do have a business relationship on my businesses in Madras,
sure.
with the law firm. As far as anything down this way in Lapine, he represents you, mm-hmm. And he would tell you I get on him just as bad as probably you do. Right, Jerry?
I was hoping you wouldn't mention that.
But it's the same thing that we've done in the past with the road contractors.
Lots of people you do business with will maybe do business with the law firm.
Okay.
It happens all the time.
So, does anyone have any issues, concerns, or any further questions on that? All right then. Jeremy, I'm not quite sure how to make this motion. I think it might be a fairly long one.
Well, I think what you need to do is request that a motion be made to approve the employment contract subject to the legal revision that we discussed in the work session. I'd suggest that you quickly bullet those particular revisions for those who are not present during the work session, and then authorize the mayor to sign the employment contract on behalf of the city.
No, all the councilors.
I'm sorry, the entire city council. That's correct. Thank you, Lauren.
Oh, let's see. I didn't hear that part because I was writing. Okay, approve the employment contract subject to
the following legal revisions, and then you can quickly bullet those those revisions that we discussed.
I can.
Okay, I'll tell you what they are. So it was running the term in section 4.1 out to February 28th.
All of that needs to be in my.
Well, I'm just trying to keep it as clean as possible.
In the motion.
Mm-hmm. It's up to you. Okay. You can do it however you want.
No, that's
giving you
fine.
An idea, giving you a thought. I would just bullet that we're gonna. Identify February 28, 2001 as the 2011, yes, as the proposed expiration date.
Okay.
We'll identify in Schedule 1.2 that Rick Allen has the authority to purchase goods and services up to $5,000, and that is referenced in Section. Pardon me, paragraph 4, Schedule 1.2.
Okay. I agree with Schedule 1.2. Oh, okay. Paragraph 4?
Yes. Schedule 1.2.
Schedule 1.2. It now has authority to make purchases. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Goods and services up to $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to add the verbiage in.
Yeah. You ready, Kitty, for the next one? That purchases, obviously, relatedly, the purchases would be in accordance with city policy and applicable Oregon law. Does that address your concern, Adele?
Yeah.
Purchases in accordance...
The city policy and applicable Oregon law.
Okay.
And then finally, in paragraph 8, schedule 1.2, providing that rent can be excused by the city council or mayor. Those are the only changes.
Okay. Oh, and then the signature block.
Well, and that's going to be, yes, your authorization. So, and authorize the entire city council.
Okay. Providing also that rent can be excused by the mayor, because we already have it in there by the council. Okay, so then, wow, making the appointment effective immediately.
Yep.
It immediately covers it?
Yeah, this ninth day of June.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Okay, you better stay with us for the full 8 months. I can't see anyone wanting to go through this again real soon. All right, is there any further discussion or questions? All right. With that, I will entertain a motion to approve the employment contract with Rick Allen for interim city manager, subject to the following legal revisions. ID to ID February 28, 2011 as the proposed expiration date. To ID in paragraph 4, schedule 1.2, that Rick Allen has authority to make purchases for goods and services up to $5,000. These purchases will be in accordance with city policy and applicable Oregon law. Also, to ID in paragraph 8, schedule 1.2, providing also that Rick Allen can be excused by the mayor. And to authorize signature of this contract by all councilors and making the appointment effective immediately this ninth day of June 2010.
I so move.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Getchus, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Tanner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations, people.
Oh, we didn't get the real one in yet.
Well, it's still you
need a chair.
Sure, I was sit out here.
Oh no, you're on the clock now.
Sorry, you know, with that, I'd like to thank Mayor Shields for stepping in as and doing her part for stepping as our administrator when we did not have a city manager. And acknowledging that that role has now concluded.
Oh,
well, thank you.
Sorry, nobody is happier than I am. It's been a very grueling role. Okay. The next item then is 4B, the Neighborhood Naming Contest Awards. Sorry, we have so many things going on tonight, I don't know where I'm at in my agenda. Okay. One of the goals in our comprehensive plan was to involve citizen participation and, you know, create a better sense of unity, hopefully an ongoing one, of the city and actually the entire community. And one of the a program that was put together to help foster this was the Neighborhood Naming Contest to give actual neighborhood names to the each of the three neighborhood areas that you see divided up there on the map. And we had a lot of good volunteers helping us with that. The chamber helped out a lot. Councilor McAfee went around and we had a nice little brochure done up and everything. And the suggestions for naming the neighborhoods came to the Planning Commission, and they came back to the city with their recommendations of the naming of the names for each of the areas. And so, in recognition and appreciation of your commitment and contribution to the spirit of community, each of you who won for each of the areas, I'm proud to hereby present these honorary resolutions from the City of Lapine to, I'll just name the names first, the people, and then their, how they named their areas. Delmer Ullman, Audrey Goulden, and Dan Barco. And is everyone here? Audrey's here, Dan, Delmer?
He sent a letter about a week ago. We didn't get a phone number for him.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't called in or anything.
Well, we have created this honorary resolution number 2010-1, the resolution creating neighborhood names for the city's three key neighborhood areas, presented to Delmer Ullman for Rosland Crossing, that would be the north area, Audrey Goulden, Ranch Side, for the middle area, and Dan Barco, Prairie Meadow, for the south neighborhood area. Whereas it is the policy of the City of Lapine to engage individual residents in matters affecting their neighborhood's identity and livability, and whereas the need for citizen involvement is a key factor that drives the city to achieve quality land use planning, and whereas it is within the jurisdiction of the City of Lapine City Council and Planning Commission to hold citizen values and citizen involvement in the highest regard and create neighborhood names, now therefore be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Lapine, Deschutes County, Oregon,
1, the above neighborhood names are hereby adopted and assigned. 2, this resolution is effective June 10, 2010. This resolution adopted by the City Council this 9th day of June 2010. So, I would entertain a motion from Council to adopt Honorary Resolution Number 2010-1.
I so move.
We have a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hitchens, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
All right, motion passes unanimously. That was a fun thing to do. Audrey and Dan Varco, if you would like to please come forward. Okay, we don't have a team back in the website.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Do you know we can do this,
though?
Do you know what it is, baby?
Video phone.
I see
him
there.
One more in case I mess that up.
Come on.
There we go. Okay.
If I can, I want to thank you for opening that up for involvement from the community, and also thank both Barbara and Adele and John Thomas for leading out. And I know there was the Sanchez's, I think, were there.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick. Patrick, I'm sorry. Marcia and Patrick Sanchez.
Sorry.
And I don't know who else was in your neighborhood.
Jane Gillette.
Jane Gillette. Okay. Yeah. And John, did you have somebody else helping you?
My wife.
Your wife? There's a lot of people out there trying to engage the city and doing that.
Well, thank you for saying that. And Councilor Hedges, I did not mean to leave you out. I didn't. You're so quiet. I didn't know you were out there doing that, too.
She was
in mind. You have your recognition. I think
the water runs deep.
So, I for one, I'm very glad that we have our neighborhood's name, because 1, 2, and 3 just wasn't making it. So. And thank you again, everyone. Okay. We move on to, Luana, do you have the background on this, the TRT committee membership appointments, or
Art,
you
want to
say? Ann Gayworth, Linda Smith, and Justin Cutler originally applied along with Mike Jensen, and all three were deemed acceptable by the council. But at that point, we were looking for just one, but since we revamped the membership of the committee to be 7, and with Robin and my term, our terms ending at the end of this year, we thought it appropriate and good idea to get at least those 3 that we had ballot applications and have been approved on the committee now, so that they can meet before we end our year's work, so that they can elect their chairman for the next term, and so come January they can hit the road running just seemed to make more sense for transition, because there's so much to do with that committee. So my recommendation would be that based on your previous review of the applications of these 3 individuals, to go ahead and appoint them, approve them, because they have been contacted and they still wish to serve.
Okay.
So with your approval, the council would like to go ahead and get them on board and get that training started, so come January 1, when Robert and I are thankfully gone. It's been a fun ride, but it's time for some new blood to take this over, and we think we have an excellent slate of folks to do that. And so that would be my request to the council.
Okay. Does council need to look at any of those applications again? Do you remember?
I remember them.
What they were?
Yeah,
okay. And do you need to see them again?
No.
Okay, and now when these appointments are made, when does the term actually start?
Yeah, I think officially, you have to look at the exact,
the resolution?
The resolution, for the TRT committee, but essentially they begin January 1, and then they serve differing lengths of term so that we have staggered. Because that's what got us off to the, got us to the point where we have to do this, because when we started the committee prep in the beginning, we did stagger. We had to realize that everybody was going to be gone on the same day, and that's not going to work. We're going to, this will correct that moving forward.
Okay, and each of the applicants is looking forward to being appointed so that they can start sitting in, and and is that all we have then, was three?
Now we are advertising for two additional to make the seven.
Okay, so we still have two vacancies.
Right, and so that advertising is being done. So, you know, with any kind of luck, we'll get some more folks to agree to serve.
Okay, and again, the names are?
It's Linda Smith, Justin Cutler, and Ann Gaywith.
Oh, okay, of course. Okay. So, let me see. Okay, I will entertain a motion to appoint Linda Smith, Justin Cutler, and Ann Gaywith to the TRT committee to fill three of the vacated seats with terms beginning January 1st.
I would so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Wood, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And thanks for being on top of that. Appreciate it. Okay. Next item is number 5, consent agenda.
We did have
minutes on there. They've been removed because they were very, very long and you didn't have time to do your review of them, Lana.
But basically, they're not finished.
They're not finished yet?
They're not ready for.
Okay. Do you anticipate when?
Hopefully, the next meeting.
I have a comment.
Sure.
Is that I had a lot of community concern about these minutes, but instead of addressing it here, it's more appropriately that I address our new interim city manager. So I will be speaking to him about that, and let everyone who was concerned about that know, or he can let them know what was decided.
That sounds like a good plan. Council? Concurrence? I mean, this is part of what we're going to be doing now, turning all of our concerns over to Rick. He's smiling.
No.
Okay, administrative things. Yes.
I want to remove the 5BI to, I guess, the regular.
Okay,
yeah. For regular discussion, I guess.
Okay, then we will go ahead and move that one to the other matters portion, which I believe is 12. So that will be 12A.
Thank you.
5-1, and that is approval of bills. Well, once again, getting the consent agenda trimmed right now. Any other comments, questions on any other part of the consent agenda, which at this point consists of 5B2 financial report and 5B3 approval of reimbursements? Okay. With that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the removal of 5A1 and 5A2. The two sets of minutes because they're not ready yet, and 5B1, two other matters, number 12A, at tonight's meeting for discussion. So that leaves 5B2 financial report and 5B3 approval of the report.
So, on this for Mr. Schuller.
Oh, okay.
Reimbursement. That's not necessarily to have that on here because the minutes on 4/28 that the council already had decided to pre-approve that.
Was approved, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a redundancy. Oh, boy. So what all do we have in reimbursements?
Just Patty.
Okay. Yeah. We'll entertain a motion to approve consent agenda items 5B2 financial report and 5B3 approval of reimbursements with the omission of reimbursement request from Ted Schuller as it was previously approved.
I so moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hitchens.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Banner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Move on to item number 6, public hearings. And the first one is 6A, state revenue sharing funds. Glenna, do you have a statement on that? Bring us up to date, up to speed.
Well, this is standard procedure for the budget process. We are in an open hearing for the state revenue shared funds, so the public has opportunity to review and make comments on how the money is being spent, and also on the city's budget.
Okay. Actually, you know, I probably should have opened the hearing before you made your statement. That's okay. I'm awake too. I'm sorry. Should have turned to the next page. All right. That'll still work. With that statement, I will open the public hearing on state revenue sharing funds at 6:56 p.m. Okay, I'm sorry, Rowana, would you like to give your staff report, please?
Okay. the state revenue sharing funds. The hearing is open to hear any public comments on how the money is spent by the city of these shared revenues. And I'll wait for the next one.
Okay. And this is our second and final hearing.
Our second
and
final.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any council comments?
No.
And let's see, we do have a sign up.
No,
we don't. Yeah, we do. No.
I think there was one name on the budget one.
Yeah, it's on the 6B.
So, have we heard anything from the state that might be, you know, with all these budget tax cuts and budget slashing, if the state revenue will be on the chopping block?
I haven't received anything.
The state hasn't done that. They're doing 9% across the board, but this wouldn't probably fall under that. When you look the next biennium, mm-hmm. you could see the state grabbing. This is liquor money, tobacco money. They could grab that or grab part of it. So I was talking to somebody about that. Yeah, I could see that coming when they get $2.7 billion to cut. Yeah. But you're probably okay for right now.
Aren't those dedicated funds?
You know, I don't believe they're in the Constitution. So see, you know, they just grabbed the ODFW money. I'm on the Oregon State Marine Board, and they took $500,000. So when the guy registers his vote, they just grabbed $500,000 and put it in the general fund. When they took it from the Oregon Crater Lake license plates. So when you went down to pay extra, you get your Crater Lake license plate or your fishing license plate. They actually took and put it in the general fund. So I bet they can do it. But I don't think they can.
Okay, well, the state revenue sharing one is usually just pretty short and sweet like that. So we have no public comment, no further council comment, and thank you, Rick, for answering that question. With that, I will make a motion to close the public hearing on 6A, the state revenue sharing funds.
I so move.
I second.
The moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Fitch, yes.
Councilor Maxey, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Madden.
All right. Hearing is closed at 6:59 p.m. Next item is council deliberations. I don't imagine that stirred up any deliberation. So we will move on to item 6B, the 2010-2011 City of Lapine budget. In accordance with Oregon law, in accordance with Oregon law, the City Council will hold a public hearing concerning the budget document approved by the Budget Committee. Citizens will have an opportunity to comment on any item in the budget document. So we will open the public hearing on the 2010-2011 City of Lapine budget at 7:00 p.m. Luana, do you have a staff report on that, please?
This is a public hearing for any questions to come before the council regarding the budget. The budget in front of the council reflects all the changes that were discussed and approved by the Budget Committee. Third.
Okay. Well, I think our Budget Committee did a very good job. I do have a public comment on that. Vicki Jackson.
Hi, Vicki Jackson, 17346 Mead Court. I don't know if you read Scott Hammer's article at the Bulletin a couple Sundays ago. And he had done an article and talked to different people on the council, and individuals, and he had actually compared our city with a couple other cities where their legal fees are ranging from $600 to $800 a month. So I attended the budget meetings, and with the interim city manager coming on board and hopefully a full-time city manager, my comments on the legal fees, I don't believe it needs to be that high as $75,000. I would like to see it around 40 or 50. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other public comment? State your name, please.
Art Euchre, 5267 Jerome Wayside Loop. My comment is with regard to TRT funding because of the current economic issue, and it does affect the budget. And my comment would be that I would like the council to consider raising the percentage that the city charges for the transit room tax within the city limits to be more in line with the average across the state, you know, to help, because I think we're, you know, given the economy, I'm just concerned that funding, because it's critical for the visitor center and a number of other organizations within the city, Frontier Days, Rodeos, and they all rely significantly on those transit room tax funds. And so at least investigate to see what the average is across the state, see how we compare with that.
What is your percentage?
Pardon me?
What is your percentage?
I don't know what the city's percentage is. I honestly don't know.
Okay, thanks.
7%. Okay. Any other public comment on the budget? All right. With that, I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing on the 2010-2011 City of Lapine budget.
I so move.
I second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hitchens, yes.
Councilor Mackey, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Granger, yes.
All right. Hearing is closed at 7:04 p.m. Open up now to council deliberations. I think we should discuss Art's input and Becky's. Should anyone care to the council discussion on that?
Art, thank you for raising that. I think that's a good point, and I'd like to probably look into that and see.
Yeah, I just think we need to have
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never even thought about that. And just to Vicky's, is that I believe that you were at the budget. At the budget deliberations, and that was, there were some of us, or one of us, who raised concerns, so that was the consensus of the group to pass that at that amount.
Councilor Ward.
In response to Ms. Vicky's comment about the legal fees, I don't see how we could budget less than $75,000. With all the things that we still have to do that require a vast amount of legal work and what it costs, I really don't think $75,000 is out of line. We're going to spend $105,000 to $110,000 this year. We budgeted $130,000. With the new city manager now, the cost of the attorney will go down, and I think $35,000 to $40,000 drop in fees in 1 year is probably very appropriate. I wouldn't think that anything less. If we can spend less, that's great, because we can always carry the money over to next year. But if we don't budget sufficient, then we're going to have a problem. Thank you.
I have a comment already. No, I came on board in December, Since that time, I haven't missed one city council meeting. And I want you to know that when we have been here, at nearly every city council meeting, we have given the attorney another project. Sometimes we've given him more than one, sometimes two, sometimes three. And the things have all added up. And it takes time to do all of those questions. And so that you understand, there has never been anything referred to the attorney by the council that there's been a dissenting vote on. So what we're talking about is that this group sitting right here at this table referred all of these items to the attorney and gave them to him to do. And we expect him to do them. And we're not finished yet. We've got more things that have to be done. And as was just said, if we voted $100,000 there and we only spent $50,000, it would carry, the other $50,000 would carry over. And that's what was discussed in the budget meeting. I don't think that $75,000 is out of line. I think our attorney has been very fair to us. And you talk about the article that was in the paper. I didn't see anything in there that said our attorney was not doing a good job or was being unethical or anything else. In addition to that, we were compared to cities who already had their charter. They already had all of their ordinances and all of this stuff in effect. We don't. We're still building on it. And I don't feel that it's unreasonable for this amount. Thank you.
Councilor Hedges, any comment? Also on my mind, we discussed all of that during the budget committee meeting, and there was good reason, I think, why we settled on the $75,000. That's because it's there if we need it, and we really don't anticipate needing that amount, but have to plan for the unforeseen, too. And again, it's still there, whatever we don't use. And the other item, the raising the amount that the city charges for TRTs, I wouldn't want to make that, or for the taxes. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the transit route taxes is a sales structure.
I don't know if that's kind of just, I would have to think on something like that, you know, longer to make that kind of decision, and especially, you know, there's the other side of that too when you talk about the economy. You know, people aren't going to want and need to spend more, and in fact I was just going to ask you, Ken, for your input on that.
I'm not sure I understood. Is he suggesting raising the road tax, or is suggesting that the city give less, more than 70% of that money to the committee?
No, I'm suggesting, they could obviously do that as well, because that's within their decision making to allocate more than 70, but no less than 70. But you know, my comment was that they should at least look into the tax, the room tax fees, to see what, you know, how they compare to other areas of the state. And I might add one other thing. I think there are some areas where we're not collecting taxes that should be collected. Some of the RV parks in the area that people come in for 3 or 4 days at a time, they're not being paid charge or room tax. I know we don't have enforcement arm within the city, but I think there's revenue that's being left on the table inappropriately, and I think those business owners should be that should be discussed with them, because I think we're losing revenue that we should be getting.
I agree with Councilor McAfee. It's good that you brought that up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that
when people that pay the room tax aren't 99% of them are from a Pine anyway. And if they're, you know, whether they're staying in a Pine or the Dalles, they're going to pay a room tax. And if we're not on average with the rest of the state, I don't think being on average with the rest of the state is an onerous thing. I think we should be there, because they know that there's a room tax.
You know, actually, we could do that. It doesn't. It would affect the budget. All it would do would be to add more money, but it doesn't have to make a change in our budget today.
And it's a lot cheaper to rent a motel in the Pine than it is in Sun River. So.
Yeah.
Even with the higher tax, you'd still have that. It would still be a draw. I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think it needs to be investigated.
If
I can comment as part of the TRT committee also,
I mean, keep in mind as you're discussing this and thinking about this, is if you were to raise it 1%, you're only talking about $1 on every 100 that somebody would spend. So it's not going to be something that's going to, if somebody's spending $50 a night for a motel, an extra 50 cents isn't going to make a whole bunch of difference to them, particularly if they go off the road and the room tax is going to be higher than it is here. The other issue is where you have some of the lodging or RV parks that are not maybe paying transient room tax, and you have others who are. That is not a level or fair playing field in business for the ones who are playing by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kim?
In response to what she just said, I think it's important to note that she's right. 1% isn't going to make that much difference to the person paying the rent. 1% isn't going to make that much difference to your budget.
Right.
You're talking about $700, 1%, on an annual basis. Do you want to, pardon the expression, piss off people for $700?
But a 1% increase on a 7% tax, I believe you've taken $60,000 or something.
$70,000.
But that's 7%. If you go to 8%, it's probably more than that.
Yeah, 60.
That's like a 15% increase.
Yeah, 15, 16.
I think it's, thank you for that, Art. I think it's a great thing for staff to look at and research and bring back to council for consideration.
Yeah. You know, if you would like me to look into that, just to come back, I wouldn't recommend that you mess with your budget, this budget. But I could come back in a month or something with kind of what the other cities are charging. What would it raise if you did 8%, 9%, 10%, and what the law is on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then it's up to you guys to decide the politics of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you would want me to do that.
I think that's a good idea. Council, would you like to give that direction?
Yes.
But not in 2 weeks, because I don't know what all you have prioritized for me.
No.
So I don't want to be like the attorney, where you have me going 48 directions, and I don't know what directions you want me in. So I don't know if that's a priority, but I will certainly, in the next month or so, figure that out. Mm-hmm. That's not very much work.
That's fair.
This debate goes on. I do know that most of the city, that 7% is probably the low end in Central Oregon. Mm-hmm. The range is probably 6. There's a 6. I think Prineville might be 6. But it's probably like 6 to 10 or 11. What's Sun River? What's your county?
7.
They were 7.
Matters is 9.
Lindell is 1.
Okay, I have a couple comments.
Yeah.
So one of the items that I saw that was absent from our budget, and I bring this up just as a reminder, is the Mid-State franchise again, the fees. I know I brought it up many, many times, but there's been some discussion of wanting to put it on our list of things to do, or at least as a discussion topic. But
I recall that wasn't at the last meeting that you received direction to look into that.
Well, to look into it, but not direction to actually pursue getting a franchise agreement. And I've looked into it, and we don't have a franchise agreement. We definitely can get a franchise agreement with Mid-State, but I don't remember any direction being that we're supposed to pursue that franchise.
Mm-hmm. I'm not real clear on that myself. We'd have to go back through the minutes.
But either way, if that is the case, I'm happy to move it forward. That's fine.
Okay, so the question is on the budget. We have franchise fees, just one line for franchise fees.
Mid-State's not part of that.
So didn't we have that discussion, or did we at budget committee?
I don't remember if we had that discussion, but it's been discussed for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And the council has never yet said we want to do this. if you want to do it, do it. But it really won't negatively impact the budget, because if you do it, you're just going to get more money in to spend.
Right.
You don't have to worry about amending your budget for that reason.
Yeah, we have a line item for franchise fees.
Well, Kim, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we go, let's just assume that we were to subject Mid-State to a franchise agreement. And we were, I'm going to throw out 5%. Franchise fee was 5%. Is your opinion that we wouldn't have to go back and amend the budget?
Okay. You don't have to amend the budget for unexpected income, unanticipated income. Yeah, we got that $16,000 from this from the last project last year. We had to make any adjustment for unforeseen income like that.
Okay.
Just the expenses.
What are the citizen impacts going
to be? And
Councilor Greiner? Gail is right. We did discuss this at our last council meeting, and it was my understanding that we had instructed him to go ahead and try to get an agreement with Mid-State. That's what my understanding was.
Well, then I'll go forward with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's make sure that we all have that documented now, that direction has been given.
Sure, we'll do it. Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, Jeremy, for bringing that up. Did you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, any other council discussion? Oh, somebody else? Kim?
This gentleman just brought up a good point with regard to this franchise agreement thing. I don't believe that you're ever going to get a franchise agreement that isn't automatically passed on to the citizens. And I would hope that the council would take that into consideration. Who's going to pay this bill when you enact it?
It's interesting you bring that up, Ken, because I'm not sure, but I believe that Mid-State might already be assessing the fee, and we're just not collecting it from Mid-State.
Right.
And that's one thing that I want to look into. Because there is, and this isn't the time or the place, but interestingly enough, there's a statute under Oregon law that provides that if a utility cooperative is operating without a franchise agreement, the city still has the authority to go and assess the 5% fee. And I need to research that more. So my assumption is that Mid-State is probably already taking that into consideration.
Okay, so just so that everybody's clear on what this looks like. So you're just going to go and you're going to find out all the details and then bring it back to us in solid form, whether so that we can either say yes or no or what the steps are.
Well, I think what we need to do is get in front of you. I mean, Rick, you tell me what you think as well, but I would like to possibly get in front of you the franchise agreement in the state that it was in prior to having the direction not to go forward, a year ago. Talking about the franchise agreement in general, we would obviously want to talk about the franchise fees. At that time, I could tell you, hopefully unequivocally, whether or not they're already charging those fees off to the consumer, because obviously that would be helpful in your analysis. And then at that time, we can talk about what particular franchise terms you want me to present to the attorney for Mid-State. Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just a real quick question, this hypothetical. Let's assume for the sake of discussion that they are already assessing a 5% or whatever that fee is to the members of the co-op. Is there anything that can be written into that franchise agreement, or does the city even have the authority to make sure that they don't redouble that assessment just because now they're going to have to pay the city?
They couldn't, but frankly, I guess I could throw language in there that it wouldn't be tacked on. They're only allowed, as far as the franchise fee is concerned, if we identify that we are to collect 7% franchise fee, they can't go and pass 9% off on the consumer. So I guess my thought is they would have no authority, at least as it relates to the city, vis-a-vis Mid-State and the consumer, to go and pass off additional fees that we're not actually assessing. Just, it wouldn't make sense to me.
Well, I would agree with that. It's just a concern. I mean, if they're already getting money. Yeah.
And I don't know that for certain.
Right.
I'm just saying that's kind of how I'm interpreting the statute.
And as we're working through this, as Jeremy's working through this, of course, there'll be ample opportunity for those kinds of questions and concerns and everything. So, thank you.
Yeah.
remember that. I'm sure Jeremy will too.
Madam Mayor, my understanding is that, and I know that I don't know about co-ops. Mm-hmm. Do their fees go through the PUC?
No, actually depends, but...
Well, Pacific Corp, I believe, PG Pacific Corp 3.5% is in the bill. Mm-hmm. So if you were to assess a 3.5% franchise fee, your bill doesn't change one penny. They're pocketing that profit right now.
That's right.
Now, this is a co-op. And I have no idea how that is. So I think that, you know, rather than spend a lot of time on an agreement, because if the issue is, how much do you want to raise, and is it going to show up on the bill, and how much is already in the bill, and how much will the bill go up, you could save a lot of legal time. Don't get into the contract. Mm-hmm. Because if your decision, in other words, with the business license, you did the work, then when you went to assess it, people complained, and then you backed away. So you're better off, I think, kind of deciding how is it assessed, and what are they assessing now if they're assessing something. Mm-hmm. And then you have to decide, we want to move forward on a 5%, 6%, 7%, knowing that if someone has a $100 bill, it's going to go up X amount, it's going to say City of La Pine franchise fee, just like on the Quest bill. There's 48 of these things on your Quest bill. And you are charging Cascade Gas, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some people have gas heaters, some have electric heaters. I mean, if you talk about being fair, the person that runs the natural gas on their stove, their water heater, and their heat is subsidizing the person that's all electric, because the all electric person isn't paying that. So I think it's a legitimate discussion. It's a legitimate income source for the city that I would say 100% of all cities in Oregon do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you incorporated, you wanted to become a city. And you know, so I think it'll be a nice debate for you, but I think it'd be interesting to find out, sure, what is the law, what's in the rate structure currently, and then come up with some scenarios. If you went 3.5%, 4%, 5%, how much income does each percent raise you? And then you make that decision. If you agree to move forward kind of as a concept, then we spend the legal time and getting into the minutia.
Hence the reason why I think we should meet and talk about it before we go forward with
the
agreement.
That could come to a work session.
I was going
to
say that merits a work session. So we'll...
It would seem to me that there's another consideration that ought to be on this too.
Thank you.
Oh, excuse me. Pat Murphy, 51427 Cedar Road. I keep forgetting about that. If the city is going to collect taxes from the electric company, what about the citizens that live outside the city? What is our benefit?
Yeah, and here we are again. We're getting into this discussion that we're going to have.
This should be considered in your investigation.
If you live outside the city limits, you wouldn't pay that tax.
That's what I was curious about.
Yeah, you would have to be a city resident. The meter of your house would have to be inside the city.
Right.
And remember, it's a fee for them using your right-of-ways. When you incorporate, and whether you're incorporated or not, but inside the city, they're putting their poles on your land. It's like you renting something to someone, or someone has a cell tower. They get money for it. And so, what's the abbreviation for this guy? Mid-State. I'm used to CEC. Mid-State, you know, they are using your road right-of-ways. That's where all their infrastructure is. And that's the nexus for them paying. And that's why there is like 3.5%, I think, already in the bill. I mean, already in your bill. They know that they owe you something for renting that right-of-way. You, the public, own that right-of-way. They are using it for nothing if you don't charge them a franchise fee. Mm-hmm. And that infrastructure is going out of town. It's going all over the place. So it's reversed. The city folks are subsidizing the out-of-town guy because you can't get power through town. And, you know, it's just... That's the legitimate debate with it.
Okay. Curious how that worked.
Okay. Any other council discussion on the budget?
No.
Now, I have a technical question here. We don't have the public hearings. Conduct our public hearings, do council deliberations. It doesn't specifically say on our agenda to adopt the budget.
We don't do that
next meeting. We do that at the next meeting?
23rd.
All right. So, I guess that concludes our discussion on that. And the expectation then is that we will be ready to adopt our budget on the 23rd as approved by the budget committee, correct? Council?
Yes.
Everyone's it? All right. Thank you very much. Okay, next item is... I did close earlier. Next item is number 7, transient room tax proposal for disbursement of funds for fiscal year 2010-2011. And background on that, Juana, Bart?
I'm going to defer that information to Mike Jensen. He sits on the KRP committee, being the lame duck chairman. Mike took it upon himself to actually draft this document with the help of the rest of the committee. So I'm going to let him answer questions or present the information.
Okay. Well, we do have information for us in our packet. Council have time to review all of that, and are there any council questions?
Is Mike going to present it?
If you have any questions, I can. I came with the assumption that everyone had read it, and I'm here to entertain any questions or anything like that. We had a very good session during the last 3 months, and. We entertained quite a few proposals, and we were very impressed by the proposal that we received from the Parks and Rec Association as well as from the Visitor Center. Visitor Center kind of did a consortium approach, combined approach with a variety of different events and organizations. And we felt it was very organized and done in a very professional manner, and we feel like that was the best approach, is to allow the Visitor Center to manage and also help them combine the funds to use and leverage different marketing approaches for different events. So in other words, you know, it's a lot easier to go to one radio station or cable or whomever and say, I've got a bunch of events I want to promote, and use that buying power rather than having each individual event or organization go to different pieces of media. Mm-hmm. So it was all under the Visitor Center, and we were very impressed with that, and it's kind of passed along in our recommendation.
Okay.
Any other
questions?
I have a question. What happens if this increase doesn't materialize?
Well, it's all based on percentage, Don. So the money is doled out on a quarterly basis based on the percentage that's recommended. So if the amount of money coming in goes up, then you hear that constant percentage, and
it goes up.
It goes up. If it goes down, it goes down. So... you know, it's kind of
it was just a question. I like your proposal. It was just a question.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a moving target.
Yeah, if someone already figured out that you could possibly come up with any number, because the dollar figures mean nothing, because we don't know what the inputs will be.
Are these not a set amount? Then, like, I don't know how much, because it's got this list of organizations. It's not like 500 to this one or 1,000 to this one. It's a percentage of the 70%.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Percentage of our best guess.
Yeah. And the reason we like the combined approach is because it allows the Visitor Center to kind of manage their own business. And knowing that one group or organization might be a little bit more or less, these are targets that we've got in the table of your spreadsheet.
I might add, the other reason we went that way was because in the past, historically, as you well know, Visitor Center's accounting, their back-end accounting for expenditure of TRT funds has been excellent.
it's detailed, and that took that. This method will take some of that burden off those individual event planners, and you'll have one accounting document to look at, as opposed to half a dozen theoretically.
One stop accounting. I like that.
It's your job easier, and it's going to make it a lot. You know, the bottom end, you're gonna be able, if there's an audit, you're going to be able to say, here's exactly what happened. There's no questions.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Ward?
What is your time frame for reporting back to the council as to how you spent the money? Every 3 months, 6 months?
I'm not sure what the ordinance requires. I would imagine that...
Last year it was 6 months. First 6 months, second 6 months. You had to report back as how the money was spent. And there was a little concern. The first 6 months went a couple of months over the time frame. So,
well, again, I don't think that the back end accounting and the time schedule is not the responsibility of the TRT committee to set. That's the council's responsibility to not only determine what you want in that regard, but also to make sure that the organizations that are getting the funds understand that expectation and comply. We're just presenting you with our recommendation based on their requests and projected funds, what we would recommend as far as percentages.
We actually act as an extension of the council at your pleasure. And so once the presentation is approved, the relationship about how the money is spent, the relationship is actually between the city and, let's say, the visitor center or the Parks and Rec or whoever it's approved with. We have not been given the authority or don't know that we want it
to police the thing. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Councilor Ward, did that?
Who then is the responsible party from the visitor center to see that accounting is done in a proper time frame?
That would be Dan Barker, who's director of the chamber, also manages the visitor center.
And you know, Dan actually has signed up to give some input on this, and he's just been sitting there patiently waiting. Would you like to speak now, Dan?
I guess I don't know if I have anything, major to say. It just seems like we're kind of getting into a system that seems to work pretty well for promoting our local events. The working with the rodeo and the Frontier Days has been, it seems like it's kind of smoothed out. We're able to coordinate, just like somebody mentioned, with the some of the marketing efforts and that kind of thing. So it seems like we're getting into a system. This is all, still fairly new to all of us. I don't recall if there were time frames for reporting. I'm sure there are in the MOU. We were a little late in getting our agreement signed on the first, last summer. The agreements weren't updated and signed for a little while and some of those kind of things. So I think it's a matter of just trying to, we're all covering more territory than probably we have time to do, but we are getting it done. And the procedure we've used is that we don't get our next quarterly release until that filing is done. So there's sort of a built-in checkpoint on that.
If you recall, when you originally brought this up, doing it this way compared to the way we've done it in the past, then I was all in favor of it, and I gave you a compliment telling you that was a really good idea.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned that the accountability has to be there. Everybody has to understand that when the money comes from here to there, and then you spread it around, we just need to know where it's going.
Yeah, and I think having that kind of one-stop accounting like we're talking about probably will help that.
Did you have a comment, Jeremy?
Well, I just have some questions. So, for my purposes, I just want to understand what the TRT committee is proposing. So the TRT disbursement that the City of Lapine would disperse to the visitor center, it would be for not only visitor center operations, but also these particular events.
Yeah. Marketing campaign.
Which you would market and campaign, the visitor center, correct?
Right.
Okay.
And then actually, I'm functioning with a committee that's representative of those different events.
But ultimately, the visitor center. Okay. Yeah. And then the 2%, you identified a 2% set aside of discretionary funds. Again, is that visitor center funds, or are these funds that you would then distribute as you saw fit?
I'm not clear on that.
The vision on that was, is, you know, the council initially had established a goal of 2% of that 70% being set aside for kind of, you know,
incidental things,
or maybe somebody comes in with a one-time
right.
request. Well, you know, one of the challenges with that is the time that it takes for to get through the process with the council. Oftentimes, that person would come to the council with a request, and that would be done before the council could even act on it.
Right.
So the thought was that the visitor center received that 2%. Obviously, they have the accounting responsibility to account for that, but then they could instantly cut a check to, assuming that recipient met the
criteria.
And if I may give a little bit of historical on that for Rick and for you, was we had an incident last year, a year before last, with the rock concert, that they had to go through the full application process, which meant two trips from Portland that they drove down, and the most that they could get was $200, because that was all that was in the set-aside. And it was because of the way that it had been set up for the application process, whether you were a visitor center or whether you were a little last-minute event. And this was designed to be able to fast track and be more user friendly to people who wanted to bring events to Lapine and, you know, increase potential tourism. Yeah. And it just makes a whole lot more sense, because then the accounting is there, as well as the fast track to get these people, you know, get their legs under them, get them running down the road and bringing people in.
Okay.
So it's the same thing we were doing, just a more refined process.
And much faster process. And much better accounting
yeah.
process.
Because it's still a separate type of thing.
Yeah. It's the last minute, you know, somebody didn't know what the budget time frame was, or maybe even hadn't conceived of an event during the time frame that was necessary to apply.
Well, last minute found out this is actually out there for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Robin, could you state your name for me?
Oh, sorry. Robin Marisol.
Thank you.
Moana.
Just so you, something to think about, if you do go through with this and they do disperse out the 2% set aside, we still have the 2% set aside sitting in our account. Will that, it needs to be determined what to do with that. Will that be going then to the chamber for them to disperse out the remainder of it?
Oh, you mean if it isn't used? Or?
We have it, the 2%, we collect it every month.
Uh-huh.
And we have it set aside.
Uh-huh.
So it's building.
I see.
And if they're going to be, if you approve of this program, what will happen to that 2% that the city has been collecting for the past 2 years?
What is it?
It needs to be decided that goes into the chamber to be dispersed out.
I have two things to say on that issue. Number one, that 2% has to be used for tourism.
Right.
By statute.
Right.
So if the council were to adopt this proposal tonight, which would include that 2% set aside being going to the visitor center for their use as long as it meets the statute, I would recommend that money that's sitting in the bank account right now be sent in addition to the upcoming fiscal year, because again, it has by statute to be used for tourism, so that way it could be used. And again, it provides that funds there for that fast track approach, which is the goal is not so the visitor center gets more money. The goal is so that needs can be met easier and simpler without you having to spend council time addressing a $500 request.
Right. So, okay, I'm not sure. You're saying just leave it there, let it accrue
no.
as long as it's not being
no.
used?
No.
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 Just
send it
to the visitor center. At what point? To what level does it accrue?
Whatever has been set aside.
We are setting aside a percent of the 70% as the 2%. Setting aside 2% of the 70% every month.
Right.
It's building.
Right.
It's sitting there.
Right.
If you pass this
proposal, the chamber will be utilizing the 2% to disperse, but we will still have our 2% still sitting in the bank with no place for it to go. And if you give it to the chamber, it gives them a good jump start,
yes,
so it can keep accumulating as it's being used.
I see.
You've got a good jump start on it right now.
So it's like a savings account.
Yeah, it's been like a savings.
Like a savings account from last year or so, but now we're just saying we're going to let someone else manage that savings account.
Yeah, right. I see.
Okay. When the jazz festival came in, it was just starting, and we didn't have that much to give out. Well, it is starting to build, and it's a good time then to turn it over.
Right. So I just want to be clear that it always remains in the set aside category.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's the question.
There will be a set aside account.
Okay.
And when the visitor center reports back to the city, the proposal and the suggestion is that there is an account along with all the other things that they report back on, whether it's Frontier Days, Rodeo, what have you. There is a set aside account, and there would be a detailed accounting of how that money was spent.
Yeah. Okay. Wendy,
a comment on that 2%. I think that the city could find plenty of ways to spend it and encourage tourism. You guys are very creative and very smart. I don't think that it necessarily should go to the visitor center because they have already had their proposal. And we're wearing different hats here. You're on the board, right, for the chamber?
Mm-hmm.
Correct? And he's also in the TRT committee. Yeah.
But keep in mind, the chamber and the visitor center have total separate budgets,
okay,
to solely separate accounting systems, and this 2% money must be spent for tourism. Mm-hmm. It can't be kept in the general fund, okay, and used in the city's general fund.
Well, the reason why I'm so concerned is because this is the application process to get money. It's competitive. There are people that have worked, on the proposals.
No, it's not competitive. If they don't meet Oregon statute, it doesn't matter. They can't have the money.
Okay, but let's say 20 people met Oregon's, 20 businesses and organizations met it.
Then each one of them would get a percentage of the pie equivalent to their qualified request. So nobody gets denied if they put in an application that qualifies for tourism, they get a percentage of the pie.
If they meet the requirements on the application, and the way it worked is, in past years we had numerous applicants, and the committee and before that the city council had to parse through all those. What's happened is that everyone got more organized as this has morphed along, and now the visitor center is that let's all partner together.
Right, I got that.
And so
okay, I'm just trying to do some checks about it.
Maybe you can let me look, also research this a little, approve these other this part that is 2%. It's not something you've done, and I don't know if it's not something you've done. We could look at that again and come back. I don't know that has to be spent.
Okay.
What I might suggest is that you approve the proposal as it is on the table, mm-hmm, and address the current set aside as a separate issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that address your concern? I kind of wonder about these things because I know that Justin Cutler has applied for the next year's TRT committee, but he also applied for funds. So there's that, what's going to happen, conflict of interest, wearing two different hats. And then, I'm not worried about him personally, but I'm worried about that process.
Wendy, to help you out there, the decision on what, how much, or who gets funds is based 100% on applying their application to the Oregon State statute for disbursement of those funds. So if 50 people come to the City of Lapine requesting TRT funds, and all 50 of their applications meet the statutes, then all 50 get the resultant percentage of that pie. Nobody's excluded.
Or favored.
If it meets the statute, I'll give you a perfect example. Rodeo Association, they came to us a year ago wanting funds to pay for the
panels if they put up extra panels for around the rodeo arena. And because those panels do not meet Oregon state statute to qualify for TRT because they are not permanent real estate, we had to decline it.
We kind of need to wrap this up. Let's go ahead and hear your...
My proposal is, I think I've already given it to you. I would suggest, recommend to you that you approve the proposal as we've written it, including the 2% for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, and that a subsequent city council meeting, or we'd be happy to meet with you in another meeting, address the current amount that's in that savings account, but is the 2% set aside for the current fiscal period.
Okay. Well, I would like to make a comment. This actually looks, you know, very short and sweet, and it is, and I appreciate that, but I've been here long enough to know I've watched the evolution of this process, and it has been a long and grueling one, and this committee has put a lot of work into it. I think, personally, that you've come up with a real good structure for managing these funds. And
I think credit should be given to the visitor center for managing that partnership, because that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a partnership to advance tourism in the city. We've just kind of worked the numbers.
Okay. Council, any other comments or questions?
No, not for me. Thank you.
No. Okay. Councilor Brenner?
I'd like to see him get a bigger percentage. If we can raise it up.
To see who?
No, I mean, as the money comes up, we hope we get more money, so they can sell it.
Oh, I see.
So they get more money, so they can buy both times.
Yeah. All right, well, that's up to the economy, I think. Okay, Jeremy, did you have any...
Just a couple points of clarification, actually. One, ultimately, the city council determines how the funds are dispersed.
Correct.
The committee only makes recommendations. And frankly, as we've discussed this in the past as well, you could completely ignore these recommendations, but they have done, obviously, a fantastic job. They've come up with a great proposal, and it sounds like you're likely to follow those recommendations. Two, I think legally this is going to work. From my perspective, I can't see why it wouldn't work. In fact, I think there are some cities, and for some reason I've got LeGrand or Baker City, one of those Eastern Oregon cities that might delegate the entire responsibility to the disbursement of the TRT funds to the visitor center. But I just want to throw out the caveat that I am going to double check just to make sure we don't have any issues there.
Okay.
You know, with this proposed idea of giving the funds to the visitor center and having them disperse the funds.
And it's actually not 100% of the funds because there was a separate...
I understand.
Right.
If I can make a comment on that, this is parallel to what the county does with COVID.
Yes, it is. Yep, exactly right.
All right. If there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion to approve the proposal presented by the TRT Committee for dispersal of funds for fiscal year 2010-2011.
I shall move.
I will second.
It's been moved and seconded. A roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor McPhee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And again, thank you to all of our committee members. You've done an awful lot of work, hundreds of hours, I'm sure, the last few years. Okay. Next item, designate regional advisory committee representative from LaPine.
Oh. I requested that to be put on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I got this email just like the rest of you and just kind of jumped on it. And it looks like a really good opportunity. I thought of only one, but it's going to be someone with some sort of expertise in, what it is, actually, I should explain. It's that the county apparently got a grant for looking into large lot building And John, if you have any more information, you can chime in anytime. And that there's going to be a lot of deliverables through this grant, and I think at one is they're going to take a look at exactly how they're marketed, how it affects employment, how all of that. And it's a pretty high-level committee. It's going to be only 9 members. One of them is going to be, hopefully, from LaPine. It's going to be DLCD, the Oregon Business Development, and EDCO. So I approached Lee Smith, and he sounded pretty positive. He did give me a positive affirmative. But he did sound positive, though. So I would suggest that we I don't think it's necessary that we appoint him, but we just have an agreement that he would probably sit on this committee and contribute as necessary. I don't think he's going to be in a decision-making role there. So it'd be either Lee Smith or Deborah and James. Do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Okay.
And it needs to be appointed by, I think it's June 21st.
Yeah, that's the first meeting. So this would be our only opportunity to send somebody.
Well, Brian has been invited to be on this committee. We could opt out of it and lose say in how these large lots are done, or we could be a part of it and get somebody up from LaPine on the committee.
Is it Deschutes County or?
Yeah, they are the ones that apply for the funds.
Yeah.
It's Nick Lelak.
Well, we certainly need a voice from our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Large industrial lots. Lee Smith would be a good person to opine on that committee. And if he's favorable, I'd push Lee a little bit farther in that direction.
So how do we make a formal appointment without our victim here to say?
Lee Smith isn't here, so it's very easy.
We could
have a backup in case he has a heart attack upon that news.
Actually, Lee would be a great guy for that.
So I suggest that we recommend Lee Smith as our first choice, and then Deborah or James as backups.
Yeah. Or actually make the appointment pending their agreement. Mm-hmm. Can we do that?
Yes.
Jeremy?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't say no, that's a yes.
I just didn't want to have that conversation use the word appointment either.
Did they say somewhere in there have a secondary or an alternate? Can I read this?
Well, I think that we should appoint two alternates so that if Lee doesn't agree, then we can just slide Deborah and James in there.
Okay, so not as a team, but separately as alternates.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Any Councilor Greiner? Any comments?
None. Excuse me, none.
I think it's a good idea. I like this.
Okay. So do I. We definitely need a voice. And thank you for getting that on the agenda.
Oh, sure.
And for talking to Lee, and at least putting a bug in his ear. Okay. With that, I will entertain a motion to designate, that's a good word, not a point, designate Lee Smith as
the City of La Pines Regional Advisory Committee representative, pending his agreement, and with Deborah McMahon as a secondary, or as an alternate, pending her agreement, and with James Lewis also as an alternate, pending his agreement.
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hitchie Shields. Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. All right. Fifth item, the Deschutes Water Alliance Memorandum of Understanding.
Want me to take the lead on this, Kitty?
Sure, Jeremy.
So, some of you may or may not recall that we had this DWA in front of us last year. The issue with this DWA was that it was going through multiple revisions. Some cities and districts and the county had signed one version, others had signed a different version. And up until this morning, I understand that this was the final version. However, based on a call with Alan Unger today, I understand that there may be some additional revisions being completed. It's going to concern the consensus decision-making section. So what I am proposing, and what I mentioned to Alan that I would propose to all of you today, is that you approve the DWA, provided it's acceptable, subject to ultimately legal approval of whatever revised draft we get back. I do think that they will be minor changes. I do not believe they will be significant. And the issue that has been identified in this particular section as being problematic is that some of the water districts in particular are wanting to make sure that any decision made by the DWA is done so unanimously rather than by consensus.
Yeah, I have a question is, how does this integrate with the regional solutions with the DLCD?
I have no idea.
I mean, how can we have regional and...
Yeah, and I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. Alan would be a perfect guy to ask that question, though.
This is a comment of the Deschutes River Conservancy Board of Directors and the DRC. And I think their our director is going to be probably run this. It's kind of a spinoff of the Central Oregon cities. What happened was that on the like the DRC, there's like three irrigation districts have represented, but not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple cities have them, and not all of them. And I think that they felt that in the city of Bend in particular felt that and Redmond that cities' water needs weren't being met, and irrigation districts have priority and different things, and so they formed another group, and this is it, and this has been kind of hanging around now for a year and a half, probably going through lots of contortions, and you know, consensus is kind of unanimous. I'm not sure.
Consensus, technically, I see it as being one more than majority, or actually majority vote, essentially, it's a consensus.
No.
Well, that's...
Consensus. The DRC operates under consensus, and it basically has to be unanimous now. But
well, it's not defined, and I guess that's the issue.
Yeah.
There is no definition of consensus.
You know, for the pine, this is... You know, you see how long this list is.
Yeah.
You're not going to be a big player. I mean, in the sense of... because you don't provide water.
Right.
Currently, the city does not provide water. This is really a thing with irrigation districts and Bend and Redmond that have large water, drinking water issues, as you all know, for their cities. As far as Metolius and Culver, you know, it's another meeting to go to. I mean, really, there's like 30 people on this. This committee is so big that...
That's what I was wondering. There's a lot of people and a few of these districts are wanting every vote to be unanimous?
Well, because I mean, ultimately, the big water districts are controlling this discussion, and you know, Little Matoli has taken an example. They got 800 people. They're not going to come in and vote against this and cause this entire irrigation system in the region to come collapsing down. So unless you're prepared to do that, I mean, it's another committee. Now, the DRC discussed this a lot. I mean, there was like, oh, here we go. You know, there's 40 committees that work on the Deschutes.
Yeah. But my question is about how can we have two separate regional discussions here in Lapine, with one with the VLCD and then one with the DWA?
I really think this is, a lot of this is, they're going to be out working on legislative issues. Mm-hmm. When there's a bill that's going to hurt what they perceive to be municipal water rights or something, they're going to lobby for or against and get involved. It's really a startup through the Central Oregon Cities, which is mm-hmm. kind of a sub of the League of Oregon Cities. And that's why Alan Unger is very involved in this. He was mayor of Redmond before he became a commissioner. And this was driven from kind of there and the irrigation districts. I don't think that the LCDC process and this are going to have that much of a conflict.
But I think when we get down the road here, I think that everybody on here is going to be a solution to the regional problem that we have in the nitrate issue. So I think that maybe now would be some sort of language in the DWA agreement regarding that.
Oh, regarding nitrates?
Well, regarding the whatever solution that they decide down here. Because if it's a regional solution, all of these people, Bend, Redmond, all of those people are going to be part of the discussion. And if, you know, maybe now is the time that we kind of stick some sort of language in there that maybe is a placeholder or something.
Well, Deschutes County is involved. They're here. The city of Lapine is covered by a sewer system.
Mostly.
Correct? Okay. The city, I don't know this, but I thought the city has a sewer system.
We do have.
Okay.
Part of the city is not our sewer.
So maybe we should think about it.
You're referring to the DEQ steering committee?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? Okay, because you're saying DLCD.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the DEQ steering committee. Yeah, I don't know.
If you've already decided once to sign on to this, and I do know that most of the districts have all signed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to make the all of this group wait in.
Yeah, we do.
I was on the DWA. I went to several of the meetings, and Alan Unger said that we weren't really that involved because they had taken our water away. We don't have it to give to this pool. But I think it would be a good idea to show support for it. We won't be that much involved, but we will have our name in there and show that we are participating.
I agree. And then, actually what Adele was referring to was the DEQ steering committee that's being mm-hmm. formed. And we will be able to have input on that too, if we want, you know. And, you know, I agree to some level there should be some relationship. They should know what's going on with each other. But if we just go ahead and move forward with this, I don't think that the Lapine area is going to be quiet about the nitrates issue. And we're working with the Deschutes Water Alliance. This is going to be a thing that's going to be coming up all the time, if you're comfortable with that. I don't think any one of us is going to drop it.
No.
Is that?
I think that we have already made a decision, if I'm right, that we were going to sign it way down the road.
You expressed your intent to sign it.
But maybe with a caveat of, you know, here's this issue, and we're concerned. I don't know.
We can do that. I think that's what's probably most critical about this organization is that their decisions don't somehow bind the city council and impair maybe a policy direction or decision, you know, by its very terms and obviously by our affiliation with this organization. And I am aware that there's some intent to make that even more clear in the document.
Right. I just know that we need to be sensitive because of the because of the whole nitrate issue, the language, now I know that there's a lot of sensitivity in what is going out there.
So, Adele, what type of language would you like to see in there so I can communicate that to Alan about the nitrate issue?
Yeah, well, when I read this, I didn't see actually anything that that even that speaks to it or
yeah, there's nothing in there that
no,
I can
My guess is that they purposely weren't trying to get into nitrates.
I agree.
Yeah.
This is about drinking water and drinking water and water rights,
yeah,
and everything. And it's kind of like it becomes so circular. If you get it into the DEQ question and all of this, I mean, this thing never ends.
Yeah.
And this is to make sure that the Oregon Water Resources Department, the Oregon Legislature, you know, doesn't goof up water rights for irrigation districts, cities, and counties. And that's really how basic it is, and that's why the goals are secure and maintain stream flows, water quality in the Deschutes Basin. Secure and maintain a reliable and affordable supply of water to sustain agriculture. Secure and maintain a safe, affordable, high-quality water supply for urban communities. That's their goals. Their objectives, provide a forum for discussion, understanding, and coordination of water needs. Build on the previous studies and reports and work collaboratively to create a regional integrated water management process. It's about water, drinking and irrigating. And it just, if you start throwing DEQ issues in it, this thing becomes probably unmanageable.
So it's about sharing available water.
That's
basically,
as Rick said, yeah, water.
When you line an irrigation canal and there's water savings and how does it get divided and where does it go and how much stays in stream and that stuff.
Okay, I'll take one quick public comment.
This
or
is
question.
A comment, and also, you guys in some ways are worrying about something that's beyond you. Because right now, 2012, it's going to hit the fan federally. 2012 till they get to it. The federal government is planning basically a, not to use that word, basically they're going to be raiding the water table.
Water grab.
It's a water grab, and it's federal, and it's big time, it's pushed. You may or may not have been heard about it, don't ask me about it, I just read, and I know what's going on. It's coming. They're going to get national ownership of all of your water. Whether you like it or not, it's coming. Just like this study for the nitrates, the USGS funding, that was federal. That was a project that was going to be an example to the rest of the country. They're not doing it just to us on the nitrates. They're doing it countrywide, back in Maryland, Massachusetts, everywhere. California, the desert, everywhere. So it's coming. Don't worry too much about it. Just keep going. Do your business.
Thank you.
Do the best you can because it's going to get real interesting.
That's what we need.
My name is Austin Gillette.
Okay, thank you.
I live at 52416 Sunset Court.
Okay.
I'm in the Burgess Beautification Corridor.
Thank you.
But that's why.
And if you ask me, you want to ask me about that one, I'll tell you later.
That's why regions need unified voices. You know, you can't just roll over and let things happen to you. You know, so thank you for that input. All right.
That's exactly what they told you.
That's what you told me.
People, I said I would take one quick comment. I will take one more, and let's please try to make it quick because it's getting very late. We haven't even gotten to the charter discussion yet.
Okay, Vicki Jackson, 17346 Meade Court. I think with your interim city manager,
reviewing that? I mean, because I think Jeremy's been working on it in his attorney bills for quite some time. Make the decision whether you want to spend more time legally or, you know, sign it, do whatever you need to do. Thank you. So, thank you. The suggestion was to approve, we already know that some changes are proposed. So, Adele, are your
Items
addressed? Or?
I think so.
It'll probably change again.
This thing is
it's ever evolving.
Yeah, it is evolving.
So,
and I'm sure if we do something that the Magic people disagree with, they'll let us know.
Okay, so it would be a motion to approve subject to legal approval of pending revisions.
That works, or you could approve it as is. You know, it's whatever you want to do.
I would just say you approve it as is. In order, you can't lower legal bills if you keep having the legal counsel doing everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then it's going to come back to us with changes?
Possibly. We don't know that, Kitty.
Okay.
We don't know that.
You know, one thing, okay. They're going to propose them. There's no guarantee. We don't need to be the first city to sign it.
Right.
Yeah. Let Redmond and Ben spend legal time and Prineville analyzing the actually operate water systems.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if Culver and Matola is and Madras and everyone else is signed, you know, we can tell Alan, you bring it back when you got all the other cities signed. They spent their legal time reviewing it.
Right. Okay. Okay. So approve it. And we'll wait for final form to
sign. No,
they've already
all signed.
Oh, we've already. I thought they
were messing around. He's not proposing that you're waiting. He's proposing you sign it as is.
Oh, sign it as is.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Yes.
That's been a long 59 years. I'm tired. Okay. With that, then I will entertain a motion to approve the Deschutes Water Alliance Memorandum of Understanding. Oh, wait a minute. Did we already... They want us to sign and give a name of elected official and name of alternate. We did that already, didn't we?
No. We haven't signed anything.
No, the name of elected... The name of the official and the name of the alternate.
Well, didn't we appoint Adele, vote on Adele, and we accepted about 2 years ago?
That's what I think with Barbara.
She's been going to meetings with me.
Yes, we do.
I don't know.
You can reappoint, rather than just
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
You're doing such a great job.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion to approve the Deschutes Water Alliance Memorandum of Understanding.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes. Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Bonner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Finally. Thank you.
I'll let Alan know tomorrow morning.
Okay, thanks. Okay. This item, again, Newberry Habitat Letter of Support for United States Department of Agriculture Loan. Is everyone able to read the background on that?
No, I got some.
And the proposed letter of support. I'll start. For me, it doesn't look like anything I would not sign. I'm always happy to support Habitat and the Habitat Resource.
Do you sign for supporting letter of support?
Councilor Greiner?
I'm ready.
Yes.
Yes.
Ready to take a vote? All right. And I will entertain a motion to approve the Newberry Habitat Letter of Support for the United States Department of Agriculture Loan.
I would so move.
Second.
Oh, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
All right. Oh, we had Mike Beeson down there. I don't know if he was going to give a presentation, but we don't need that. All right, so then we'll take a quick break before we move on to city charter discussion. Shall we just keep rolling? All right. Number 11, city charter discussion. Jeremy, would you?
I can start it off, definitely. What I am distributing is a memorandum prepared by my associate, Peter Christoff. It briefly summarizes the process that we must follow when adopting our city charter. A couple things that I wanted to point out that is probably the most critical to our timeline. According to our review, it appears that we have to have our ballot with the or the ballot title, if you will, to the county clerk by September 2nd if we intend to have the charter on the ballot on November 2nd's ballot. So what I guess
minus the appeal time, or is that included?
No, that is inclusive of the appeal time. So
it's worst case.
Correct. So I think we work backwards from that as far as how we set up our timetable. And let's see here. If we were to work backwards, I'm thinking that we need to get this, possibly have a draft of the charter available. We need to discuss whether we're going to go with the committee or the city council is going to spearhead this. But my thought is, Rick, that we would be discussing the draft charter by the first meeting in July, pretty quickly.
I put this on the agenda because of that, and it definitely has to move forward because we've been talking about it too long. We also would like to have a counselor at large. And you were going to look into that, and I don't think that we could.
Well, I said I'd give you an answer when we had that first work session, you know, when we were going to have our first work session discuss the charter. But I will tell you, it appears that you could have a counselor at large.
Okay. All right. And I think it would also be a good idea to have some community members involved in drafting this. If we could have some business people, perhaps some chamber people.
Okay. Well, first of all, can we get through the timeline first? Can we do that? Let's
sure.
do that part of the discussion first.
And well, it is July 1st.
Before we even get there, again, my recollection was that we were going to have a work session and go through an actual timeline with Rick.
Oh, okay.
Talk about the committee, whether or not we're going to establish a committee to spearhead the drafting of the charter and so on. So I wasn't sure what the purpose of this discussion was tonight.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, you're getting the memo that I was intending to distribute at the work session. But now that Rick's involved, I really think it's obviously critically important for Rick to be or have an opinion as to the timelines and the formation of the committee or the lack thereof and so on.
Okay.
Okay.
Give me a minute here.
And at the work session, I will produce a memorandum for you as it relates to the at-large position, Barbara.
When will the work session be?
Well, that's what I'm hoping we kick it off in July.
But we have to have this finished, I thought,
no.
The 1st of July.
No. I don't know who said that, but that's not correct.
No.
We have to be through the procedural process by September 2nd. We have to have our resolution adopted, this paragraph 3. We have to have our ballot title prepared. We have to go through the notice requirements, that's paragraph 4. We have to satisfy the appeal timetable, that's paragraph 4. And then ultimately submit it to the county clerk, Nancy Blankenship, by September 2nd.
Then we should have a committee and have it meet every week.
And that's what you all need to discuss.
Okay.
Okay, now, so regarding the at-large position, so we could do it, in the form of a charter, of the charter.
Yeah, you'd have to provide for it in the charter.
Because also that, because we have done some research and it said that possibly that there's a resolution that could be done by resolution. And that would be 22910. And it just states simply that the council shall judge the qualifications of its members.
221, what was it again?
221-910.
Okay, and off the cuff, I'll tell you that I think this is the statute you're referring to is under the 1885 Act, isn't it?
We were not
incorporated under that act.
I know what you're talking about, and I don't think that this one is within that.
I'll look at it.
Okay.
Because obviously, if in fact that is the case, then it resolves our charter issue.
Yeah.
Right? But I will tell you that since I've been doing legal work for the city, that issue has come up 5-6 times,
mm-hmm.
and every time, not necessarily that statute, but every time that a similar issue comes up, the person was always looking at under the 1895 Act or the 1880 Act, whatever it is,
yeah.
which we were not incorporated under. We were incorporated under Section 221-300 or 200-something.
Okay, then the other thing is, the only other city that I found was Greenhorn, and that's a... they have two occupants, I think, within the city.
Two residents,
yeah. And then they had legislation to approve having the counselors outside of the city. And so I was thinking that if that would be another way to go would be the legislation. Someone could just sponsor it on our behalf.
It's interesting why they went the legislation route when it seems to me to be very possible just to do it by charter.
Well, they had something to do with them being a patent city.
I
don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is either. Do you have any idea? You ever heard of a patent? Okay. So what I will do then is I'll look into the 221-910.
Okay.
And as far as Greenhorn is concerned, you know, maybe Rick, you could find out what Greenhorn's about. I don't know.
About the legislation?
Yeah,
what they did.
Because I think that the legislation would likely be much more difficult than just doing it by charter if that's ultimately the direction the city council.
You know, I would think possibly one idea I have is take September 1st, we have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Which means August to me is when you're going to have your resolutions, because you got to get in the newspaper, you're going to have a meeting, and just in case there's a glitch at the first meeting in August,
that's right.
You can come back to a second meeting in August.
Mm-hmm.
You'll figure you really have to prove this in August, because it's got to be ready September 1st, which means this committee needs to be known. You need to decide tonight to form the committee, not wait to the 1st of July when people are on vacation and give them 3 weeks, because really they need to be done with their work the 1st of all. I would look at August 1st, it's done. And so we're only sitting on the 9th of June, so let's not waste June. I think you need a 5 or 7 person committee, something like that, and only put 2 council members on it, so you do not have quorum issues, you do not have public, all the issues if you want. They have to recommend back, obviously, and they can give an update at every council meeting in July, you know, in something. But to get into the minutia of the charter, this is one element, but lots of it's fairly boring. And so we need to take the charter from the League of Oregon Cities, which is a template.
Okay.
And we just start going through the first paragraph. And it's, do you want to elect your mayor? I mean, these are the things you do. You know, you elect your mayor from the 5 of you. Do you want them to run for mayor? Those are interesting discussions. Ben elects Redmond, Madras, Prineville, you run for mayor.
That's right.
Then you appoint the mayor. There's lots of different opinions on that and how it... We won't go into the details of that, but those are the things. Do you want to go to 7 members if you're going to go outside the city?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to, are you going to increase your numbers to 7?
Mm-hmm.
But, and if you aren't going to go outside the city, do you want to stay 5? And they don't have to decide that yet, but you just start going down through this mm-hmm. charter and look at every issue, because it's really, it's your constitution, it's your foundation of how you run the city. It doesn't get into zoning and land use, and so it is fairly kind of boring. And they don't get changed every 10 or 20 years generally.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of sit there forever with minor changes. So I would like to get started on that if we're going to do that, to make the November ballot.
Mm-hmm. So don't you think that we should decide tonight about the at-large position because, you know, why go through all the...
Well, what I was thinking maybe is a two-pronged approach, Adele.
Okay.
Why this group spends, say, the next month working on that. You just say, except that they'll say, you know, they'll talk about it, but if it's legal to do, they can say, let's recommend that. If it's not legal to do, in other words, let Jeremy work on the legal side of that. Why the committee is going through, because that's only one paragraph out of a multi-page charter. What I'm trying to do is get us onto the other issues in the charter. Let Jeremy spend his legal time working on this issue to find out if it's legal. Why we'll just kind of draw a circle around that issue for just 2 or 3 weeks. Because people don't like to serve on committees if you've already voted.
Yeah.
You've already decided what they're supposed to recommend.
Yes.
Because it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. The way that I see it is why spend all of that time discussing at large if the council's not on board. Because I'm not sure if they are or if they're not.
That's a legitimate discussion. I mean, I would. You can find out if that's the case. But I think, and I was thinking about working on 99% of it, and let them hold, and then they can come in here and you can talk about that. This is going to have to move so fast.
Yeah, and part of the committee would be people living outside of the area. So it'd be kind of, that discussion I think happening before the committee's formed might be appropriate.
You're starting to have a lot of time to be.
Yeah, so.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I think you have a very good point. I think we should get a consensus on whether we want to have someone that lives outside the city limits being on the city council. I think we need to decide that. We need to move forward on this thing very rapidly. But remember one thing, if we go the route of having an at-large councilor, which we did some research of 75 different cities, we didn't find one that had that, and I don't think it's legal to begin with, but we run the distinct risk of the voters turning this thing down during the election, and then here we are, we've gone through all this stuff, spent all this money, and we haven't rejected charter, we're going to have to wait 2 more years to get on ballot again. I think that's something we really need to think about, because we don't want to do all this and then have it rejected in the polls. We really don't.
Why would they turn it down? Because there's an at-large.
Very simple. I ran for office 2 years ago. I had to go to the county recorder and fill out all the papers, knock on doors, get petitions. One of the qualifications to run and sit on this council was you must be a resident of the city. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the election law in Deschutes County, how can we as a city change that? Now, I don't know anything about legalities, but it just seems to me like if that's the law, we have to obey it.
Permission
for that was not because of the Deschutes County law, because that's the ordinance or the charter on which you were formed, which is a state charter, and that was the thing in there. From this point, they're suggesting the charter can't be changed when you adopt.
I have never lived in a city in my entire life anywhere in any state where anyone sitting on the city council was not a member, a resident of that city. Never anywhere.
Another good point too is that if when the coming election time is that we will probably need to know early on whether or not that people should consider whether or not to put their hat in the ring for a city councilor.
You mean because if the charter is on the November ballot, well, I don't know how that works. If the and you're deciding whether or not you're going to get an at-large, you're saying people would be running on the same ballot?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
not voting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It
will
be
a seat for a little bit.
We need to have one person at a time talking, please. At the risk of making this go on and on until midnight, we have a gentleman back here who would like to make a comment. I hope it's brief.
Yeah. Tom Bradler, 16032 Dyke Road, Day Road, Corridor. Don't you all right now allow at-large members on your commissions? Don't you have at-large?
That's different. The council is...
Well, I understand that, but what I'm saying, that isn't a normal situation either. And that was something you did because you're having a hard time filling commissions.
We don't have any outside the city commissioners who deal with voting on and appropriating general fund tax money.
It's a non-voting position.
Why bother?
Could be, yeah. Okay. Red question back here.
Bob Cox. The idea, I think, that the community is interested in is having, expanding the definition of who can be a counselor, because La Pine doesn't look like a whole lot of towns in Oregon. There's a lot of things that make us pretty unique, and we are built like a Dalmatian dog with spots of neighborhoods, disconnected spots, all over this community. And so, with the rules that we live under, it seems like the rules that we live under should kind of look like us. And we are a spread out community. We obviously have a lot of people who do not live within the specific city limits who are obviously very involved in the town, care a great deal, filling out committees and, you know, serving, volunteering all over the place. So the idea, and it's not illegal because all five of Greenhorn's counselors live way outside. So it's not against any state law. All five of them. In fact, they all live over in the Willamette Valley, and Greenhorn's out by Baker. So, and the law, 221.910, was amended in 1983. I think that is
that 1890 some act, I think, then, because it was amended in 1983.
Mm-hmm. 1983. So
and that doesn't apply then if it is the 1895 act.
No. It doesn't say that, but it was amended. So, anyway, the point is, the council, I think it's a pretty serious issue to make laws that reflect the community, things that match where we live, who we are.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these outstanding areas you're talking about had an opportunity to vote at one time to become part of the city. And if I remember right,
Four times it failed. They did have the opportunity back in 2000.
They did. So they had an opportunity and they elected not to come into the city. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
What was the point?
Is that accurate?
People, we can sit here all night and do this. Would you like to?
Well, maybe because you need to find out here. I mean, we've heard from
these people want it.
A couple people. Maybe what you're trying to do here is just like, if it's legal, just for the sake of the argument here, if it's legal, do you want to consider that? See, I mean, just assume it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives the committee we form an idea of, because I think that's what Adele's asking for, is kind of a direction is, or are people on board?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if there's no support to have them outside the city anyway,
right,
then there's no point in spending any time on it, and we can just work on the charter.
What do we need to do? Take a consensus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe each of you could maybe articulate your opinion on it, because it's a big deal, the charter.
Mm-hmm.
So more than just a vote.
Is this a consensus or a vote?
No.
Well, it's a consensus? Okay.
Yeah.
Want me to vote?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I think that it will bring the community together more, mm-hmm. and there are so many people outside the city limits, and I think we should include them.
Yes, and I vote yes, is that that there was a very interesting article in the chamber that saying that 47% of the property tax value is contributed by the business community.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, absolutely, it should be included.
Pending finding out if it's legal, I mean, you know, if you find out that it's legal, I would have no problem with someone outside of the city limits, sitting on city council. I've always said I feel like we're all one community. So first step is to find out if it's legal. Your turn.
I have very mixed emotions about it. I know that I own a piece of property that I understand was originally included in the city boundaries. And at that time, it was on Dorrance Meadow Road. And at that time, I couldn't understand where I would gain anything from being in the city. I couldn't get sewer out there. I couldn't get water out there. Trying to get roads and stuff like that cleared, I wasn't sure about how that would work. And I'm really, I was really against it. And then when finally the city was passed and an area was picked, and I moved inside the city so I could take part in the decision-making process. And I'm right now, I'm just not sure which way to go. So I think I'm going to pass on.
Well, I think that still leaves us with the first step, anyway, is the unanswered question. Is it legal? Can it be done? We're just going to keep spinning around like this until we get the answer to that question. I do have, after saying what I did, I do have one caveat, and it reflects back on what Councilor Ward said earlier, that let's say we find, for argument's sake, we find out this is legal, and we write that into a charter, then, like Councilor Ward said, we have current people within the city limits are the ones voting. So we need to take that into consideration. Would we put all this effort into putting up a charter and setting up a charter, putting it out to vote, and then those who are currently qualified to vote say, no, we don't want that. Just throwing that out there. It's not an easy decision. Let's finish with the council discussion here, please.
I think that it doesn't make any difference what the council comes up with a charter. I think whatever we put in front of the city will probably pass, because that's why they have a council. So they can come up with that. So I think it's critical whatever we come up with, because I don't think there will be any question of it passing.
Okay. Councilor Ward, nothing
further, thank you.
Councilor Hedges?
I still say yes.
No, I was just wondering if you had any other comments.
No.
Yes, Councilor?
No.
McAfee? All right. Okay, do you have some questions?
I just had a comment to Councilor Greiner, and maybe this would help him maybe understand where some of us are coming from. I don't live outside of the city limits, I don't live inside the city limits. However, I own two pieces of commercial property inside the city limits, and I have a business inside the city limits. I work in the city, 5-6 days a week, and yet I have no voice as to what happens within the city at all. And I feel that I have no representation within the city or those of us who do have property and do have businesses, yet we pay a significant portion of the taxes and have no real voice. And I think that that's what we're saying is that there's a lot of us that have made really long-term, high investment to be involved in this city. I've been here for 25 years, and yet we feel like we're ostracized. And when Councilor Hedges talks about being, bringing us together closer as a community, I think that that's what that would do.
Thank you for that. I actually need to back up a little bit here. I have three people who signed up to speak, and they're just sitting there patiently waiting for me to call on them. And I'm out of order here. I'm calling on people who are raising their hands. Ted Scholler.
Thank you. I was involved in the 2000 attempt to incorporate LuPont, actively involved for 3 years, and 3 years of my time in that. And there were different reasons why that wasn't larger incorporation. A lot of it was about misinformation, out-and-out lies that were distributed by opponents, and that's why it didn't pass. Roads issue, that was already, we spent a year laying out a road plan that would be incorporated in that city. So, so you got a lot of misinformation, Councilor Grainer, at that time. My point is, I also, since that time, served on the county Home Rule Charter Committee, and so I've had some experience in the charters, designing it and so on. I don't think you do it by September, and I'm saying, what is the rush? You know, I know a lot of us would like to see the city have a charter, but why rush through something? Especially, are you going to find a committee who wants to really give that much time in a month to coming up with a charter? And besides that, you're going to have an election in November. You may have a completely different city council at that time. So why rush to do it now? Why not wait until the next election to do it and spend the time to do it right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Right. Glenn
Barkow. I think it'd be nice to have, you know, percentage, not a majority, but a percentage, a minority percentage of voting council members that are caring folks that live outside the city. And if they're elected by the people within the city, I think that tells us that they're comfortable with their representation. I kind of use this analogy. If you could somehow put a care meter on people, I think that a lot of the people that live outside have a higher care meter reading than a lot of people that live inside. It's interesting that most of the business community works in LaPine and spends most of their time in LaPine, in the city. Most of the people that live in the city spend most of their time working in Bend. Mm-hmm. And so their interest is in what happens in Bend, because that's their livelihood, that's their economic engine. When you have a town hall meeting, when you try to get committee members, when you try to get somebody on the planning commission, most of the volunteers are from outside the city. They care about the city. It's that caring that I want to see on my council representing us. It's that, you know, the caring attitude. And I want to see the majority of them that care. Thanks.
Jane Bennett.
Stan and Ted have pretty much covered what I wanted to cover, but one thing I want to address is, Councilor Grainer, I understand what you're saying about you didn't want to be in the city because what services could they provide. That's one of the reasons why the city was made up in the region that it was, because water and sewer could be provided to this area. But we need also, as Barbara said, the care, and the people who are business owners, they need to have a voice. And also, until Councilor Grainer joined the council last December, that was the first time you had a full seating of council members in a long, long time. And at one point, Kane, you know full well there were two of you. You know, and that's not a way a city can run. This would give an opportunity not only to the business people to feel more part of the city, but for the council to be able to rely on qualified, dedicated, caring people to want to serve on the council. And they're out there. We know they are. Thank you.
I promise this will be really quick. Caring is the key here. You know, the objection to an at-large council person, I want, you know, my question is, why would one object to one who wanted to be a part of the city, part of the process, even though they have nothing physically to gain by that involvement? Even if they are a business owner, because the point being is there's a genuine concern for this city by many, many people who don't live in the city. And all we're asking is for an opportunity to share that care and that pride and put one more voice at the table that may have a view that you may not have other, you may not have heard previously. It has nothing to do with trying to control It's nothing to do with trying to take away the voters' rights within the city, because ultimately, if that person is on the ballot, it's the voters within the city limits that are going to put them in that seat if they so choose. So I think you need to trust your electorate. Mm-hmm. And you need to allow them to make the choice of who sits at that table. But you need to give them the opportunity to make a choice that includes the community at large, because they know how much care and how much time is spent on their city by people who don't live in the city. And that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I just wanted to say, I think Adele's point about the legislature could be a good issue to follow up on. And I agree with you that the timeline doesn't fit us and our situation. I moved up here 2005. I voted for joining the city. I'm at the armpit of Burgess at the 4 mile marker. I'm serious. That's what it is. It goes like this. It goes like a boomerang. Now, I voted for it. But what I saw and what I heard was a lot of what he said, a lot of half-truths, lies, and whatever. And all I saw was, well, let's make a deal. Gerrymander the city limits, so we'll get it passed. Mm-hmm. Over and over again, it went on. And I feel just as much a part of Lapine, because I live out there in this little court by myself, up against the forest, up against the mid-state electric line, and lots of trees, and three vacant lots that are probably never going to be built on in my lifetime, because of the economy. And dealing with the county up in Deschutes, I say the name Beautification Corridor because that's a cock and bull story I got from the permit people. I hate to put it. You plug me in. But I think really one of the things we ought to do is go after, get Gene Wisnett involved with the possibility of changing some state laws to allow, because we're special here. I say we because I'm part of this community too. I moved up here in 2005 because I couldn't stand California anymore. no small. But the thing is, I wish that we could settle this, snap our fingers, and get an instant fix. But I don't know if we can. We do need to get outside people. There's 4,000 people out there. You only got 1,500 here.
Right.
And it's like a 3-to-1, 4-to-1 margin, wherever you want to draw the line.
Okay, Rick, do you have any comments, anything to help us move along on this?
It could be the timeline's too tight. It would appear to me that the consensus, or the majority of the council and the majority of the audience for sure wants to allow people from outside. That is not, that debate goes on everywhere, and so that it's understandable. There's some question whether it's legal, but they appear to me they think it's legal, and then if it's not legal, you have a legislative process.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you try to rush it, or do you put it on a May ballot? Instead of November, you do it like the next May. Now, if there's nothing else on the ballot, you have to pay for it. Or
mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do it as soon as January 7th, quite frankly.
So,
but it would be more costly.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay because you're probably the only thing on the ballot. But it's, I don't know what the clerk can tell us what that costs, but,
sure.
Mm-hmm. It costs a few $1,000. But you can do it in March. You can, there's special district elections.
Here's the timetable.
July people tend to be on vacation. That's why I think it's hard. It's 100 degrees out. The air's full of smoke, possibly, and it's hard to get people to sit in a room. So
By looking at just purely from a stat basis, I believe May and November are the two. Correct?
May
and November are the two that receives the most voter turnout.
Okay.
My comment is I'll go along with whatever the majority of the council wants. In other words, I'm not going to try to stand in the way.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would like to move forward with getting a charter in place. We've been criticized for not having a charter for a long time, and what we told people was legitimately we have this project, the other and the other that we're working on. We don't have time to work on a charter. Now we have the time to work on it. And I think that we should get going on it and go for the November ballot. Councilor Ward?
Well, if it's possible to get it on the November ballot, that probably would be the best thing to do. If the time frame is not possible, then naturally we should wait. We want to make sure we do it right. We're not rushing. So if we can do it right between now and November, that's fine. If we can't, then we'll leave it here.
Councilor Hedges?
I understood that we would have to wait 2 years, but it would be a good idea to maybe put it on a, I don't know about, well, yeah, January. It's not going to cost any money. You know, coming right after holidays.
January it does.
No, well, I mean to the people. You know, like if we were putting something out there after the holidays when people have spent all their money. Since it is that way, I think that's a good idea to wait and get together a good group of people to work on this and find out for sure if we can have a counselor at large, or maybe two. Or go up it.
Okay, I would kind of have like to see show of hands of waiting until January or May.
Well, May would be more.
The audience or counting?
Yeah, just the audience here. Just what? Who wants to wait?
May.
Okay.
But then no dilly dallying in between.
The resources to get to work on this, and some people in the audience who raised their hands and said let's wait were the same people who at our first town hall meeting said get going on this, it can't be that hard, there's a template, you just work with all of this. Let's have one person talking at a time, and I did have before. What those people said was that it's not that difficult. Some people said that you just have this template to work from, and you can put a chart to get charter together. And somebody said you can, which I know isn't true. But anyway, I'm just wondering, you know, why such a change now?
We've got a voice of reason who suggests the timeline is very tight. Ted Scholl is another voice of reason says we shouldn't rush. Secondly, May is only 5 months later, 6 months later, and I would much rather wait till May and make sure it's done absolutely
right,
cold stone correct. We'd have to go back and revisit it if we screw it up and we waste a bunch of time.
The legislature's in session. If you had to go that route, you could get a bill passed. That's right. You'll have the answer back, and you know, because. Yeah, there's a lot of issues to it. You sound like you want to go, but you say, you laugh and say one or two or three. That changes things immensely. It's one thing to have one out of five. You start going to two out of five and three out of five. Now that, you know, you're going to have issues.
That was just thrown out there. But if you're leaving, say, perhaps February, then how does that leave us to work?
Well, the people running will have to decide they have the time to serve. If you're saying they're a snowbird, is that what you mean?
No, So where would that leave us?
Well, you know what, actually, to get on the May ballot, we about have to have it done
in March. Okay.
So
we would be done when
the work's over.
Hopefully.
he could, you know, work on the start. I think maybe you guys, if you work on this in the next couple of meetings, maybe put a notice out to get your committee.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometime late July, first of August, you spend August, September, October, November, or you wait till September to start to get summer over, but September, October, November, say, I want you back in 90 days with a recommendation.
Right.
You push to December, so you've got a couple months to play with it and work with it. The task them a little bit like the Deschutes County Home Rule Committee,
right,
where they really move that along.
Absolutely.
And then they report back maybe as they work through.
It's interesting this discussion has gone this direction because it just so happens I was online looking at various charters and in committee resolutions, and Ashland has a fantastic charter committee resolution and kind of scope of duties and responsibilities that I think we could pair it, and it would work really well for us.
Okay.
So
I just want to address one other comment you made in regards to the first time home meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between then and now is that now you're saying you want to do this. Then there was no time frame. There was no let's go for it.
Right.
Now you're committed to go for it, so now you're saying let's do it right.
Mm-hmm. I got that. I got that.
I will do it.
I just wanted to go on record that Kitty Shields did not stonewall a charter in place. That brings me back to another thing. Sometimes that is why it has taken so long to get things done, is because I and others like me, and I like to think most of us, we deliberate, we talk about things, and we want to take our time and do them properly. So let's do that. I suggest that we drop this and let it just kind of.
You want to appoint your members the second meeting in July, so you've got a month or so. She can get the notices out, and how we file with the newspaper, or however you get notices out into your local league.
What about the composition of the committee?
Well, that's what we need to talk about.
How big
do you want? What about step one is forming our committee? It sounds like everyone here wants to form the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have that at our second meeting in July, the adoption of the resolution forming the committee?
Yes.
Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. That will be step one, and then after that resolution is passed, we can start talking about timelines. Right?
So you're saying the formation of the we would actually pick the members then?
Yeah, we'd okay. form it and pick the members.
But I think the question was the composition of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Inside or outside?
Yeah, it has to be in the advertising.
If you advertise for it.
That's a good point.
That was my question.
What about adopting the committee resolution, the second meeting in July, having them appointed at the first meeting in August? That work? That gives 2 weeks plus for notice.
Well,
sound reasonable?
Big vacation time.
Yeah. I'm just throwing out ideas. You could have the appointment second meeting in August.
You could put out the notice, could just say you can be in and out without specifying how many. Then you're going to find it with this as a 50-person list. You can kind of say that's. Decide, do we want 7, do we want 9, do we want 5, how many do you want in, how many do you want out?
Please. Rick has the floor, please.
So, I mean, you'll be here all night if you're going to try to decide how many people are on the committee. That, you know, you see how much interest there is and then what you're comfortable with. How many do you have on that, on the charter?
On the charter, we're looking at 9.
Yeah, I mean something under 10.
Yep.
So it's not, and so it's between 5 and 9.
Yeah.
5, 7, or 9 is what you're going to have. And so I'm assuming you would want a majority to be city residents.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
5 to 4 if it's 9, and you can do the math.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you're affecting the city directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's how simple that could be.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the interest, you don't need to set that number yet. Would you?
That sounds great.
Yeah, okay.
But I think we ought to get the names in here by July, the second meeting in July, get that going, and then they can start meeting. And if they might decide not to meet until September, but
So Rick, what you're proposing is just the advertisement to go out to both city residents and non-residents, compiling a list, and then go from there.
And then you guys, the council, gets to pick who you'd like on it.
Well, I'd like to suggest a cross-section, too. We have a lot of people that are coming, you know, that represent businesses, but I would like to see other people other than just business interests, too.
Okay, so then based on what you said, the response that we get, then we would...
You pick them at the July meeting, you got a resolution.
We approve the second meeting in July. We have a pool of applicants for the committee that would be appointed based on the resolution that you passed.
But the resolution should... We should know how many...
What Rick is saying is, why try to deal with that right now? Let's get the advertisement out, let's get the ball rolling, let's get a lot of interest. And in the second meeting of July, you'll approve the resolution that will specify the composition, and your appointments will be based on the composition that you approve.
Okay.
We basically, you know what, you would adopt the resolution first.
Sure.
And then the next, you kind of decided you want 7, 5, or 9. And I mean and then the next step that night you could pick from your list.
We're trying to expedite the process.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, maybe you know how many you want. I mean, there's not lots of choices. You know you want probably more than 3, and so you know. I mean, maybe you just say. I think 9 probably. That's manageable, and lots of people like to be involved. So.
But I think if you have, you know, I think we would want the biggest number we can have, which is, like you said, manageable. Because then you're going to get a better representation, I think.
I would just say 9. Five in from the city and 4 out. And let him put that in the resolution so he doesn't have to spend any more time working on that.
Okay.
That's good.
Council, what do you think about that suggestion?
Yep. So when will the notices go out? Probably the 18th, right? Or sooner?
Whenever Luana can do it.
ASAP.
You'll get amended or noon tomorrow, it'll be in next Tuesday's paper.
That's true.
Smokes.
gentlemen back here real quick.
Is everyone
comfortable? Are you going to say that they have to live within a certain distance of the
mm-hmm. For the committee?
Well, I'm just moving it out. Is that my...
I would say no, because you get to pick them.
Yeah,
no. You're going to look at the list, and if the person's from Portland, you can decide it's too far.
I think that committing to meetings would be an issue.
It's a good question, but you know, you get to pick.
Yeah.
You
said the criteria.
Zip code, but then, you know, we have with people living in Klamath County who are very interested in the city and have property and have businesses here. So. And they're in a different zip code.
Ultimately.
Well, sometimes.
I know you're right. You're still
in Schutz County.
Yeah, I'm too far away.
Oh, you're just Schutz County?
Yeah.
But it's the same. The zip is the same. It's 97739.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Depending on how far south you get.
It still makes no difference if the council checks it and makes a decision.
Right.
They can determine
right. Well, okay then. Council, any other? We're able to hear ourselves think here. I was actually trying to call for any more council discussion. Questions?
Do we want a motion that we're going to have 9? The committee's going to be composed of 9 members, 4 from outside the city limits, and 5 within the city limits, like was suggested.
Do we need a motion or just to...
Consensus
to direct Jeremy to... that's all we need. Council?
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yes. Direct Jeremy to what? I'm sorry.
Do the resolution.
To put together a resolution that will state that we will have to form this committee and this committee would have 9 members, 5 living within the city boundaries and 4 out.
Maybe you could say up to 4 living out. So you're talking about here.
Up to, yeah.
Up to 4, in case it's 3 of 6.
I don't think we'll have any problem getting that people outside city limits. Okay, is there any other discussion on that? Do we know where we're headed for the time being on that? Okay. All right. Then we will move on to item number 12, other matters. And we have 12A, consent agenda, item 5-1, that was moved over for item 5-B, thank you, the one that was moved over for discussion, approval of bills.
Okay, originally I was going to make a comment about the legal expenditures, but judging from the way that tonight went, that I think that we have found the solution, and so I am going to approve the check detail.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, unless there was a discussion, I'm sorry.
Okay, so after you are waiving or changing your mind, whatever, you no longer need that discussion, and so therefore we can move forward with a motion to approve consent agenda item 5B, I as presented. I will entertain such a motion.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hitchcock, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Next item, public comments for items not on agenda. How late do we want to stay here tonight?
I want to remind the council and everyone else that the governor is going to be in town tomorrow afternoon, or Friday afternoon, I'm sorry, at 1 o'clock at the Frank's Corner out by Gilchrist. I think it would be really nice if some of us could show that we care and go out there. And he's going to have a speech along with some other people as well, ceremony dedicating the Gilchrist State Forest.
That's Friday at
1. That's Friday at 1. And so I just, it's a little awkward getting in there, but I'll try to get some good directions at the chamber if somebody wants to get to I think you just go out 97 to the BSR Road and drop in there to the Big Hall Road and just go out to the big intersection about 5 miles out. I haven't seen any mosquitoes yet, but did mosquito abatement go?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it worked.
It started last Saturday night.
Yeah. Good. So I just wanted to thank you guys for making that decision. I think that we're all going to really have a better lifestyle here because. And I was going to make it another kind of a comment observation thing. At the senior center board meeting this week, there was a report that the senior center had estimated 15,000 volunteer hours invested into it in the last year. And it made me think about all the other organizations that have all these volunteers and the city and all the volunteers. And it'd be real interesting if that was documented. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is getting together a better tracking system to know that number for sure. But it might be interesting for our committees and you counselors and everybody that puts time in to just document that, because it'd be an interesting number to know, especially when we're talking about it. I mean, thanks. But it'd just be interesting to know kind of how many hours are invested. Because it is. Time is money. I mean, it's our life, and we're investing in it. And mm-hmm. It'd just be kind of interesting to know that number. But anyway, thanks.
Yeah, good thought. Thank you.
2 quick comments. Number 1, thank you. Mm-hmm. And number 2, congratulations. on the extremely qualified choice you made for the interim city manager.
No, we're in a low one. So we can exceed them.
But it's quick on Dan's thing, too. That also, those hours can translate into money for grants and things sometimes, too. So it is, you should always keep track of your volunteer hours.
Yeah, good reminder. Good reminder. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the point that this Saturday is going to be the...
What was your name again?
Tom Bradler.
Yeah, thank you.
2 weeks from this Saturday is going to be the Relay for Life. And inviting in, I have a member there. Vicki's a member of my team, and Adele's a member of my team. Invite you to come on out and take a look at it. Bring in handkerchiefs if you come to the seminaries at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. It's something to behold.
Thank you. Vicki.
Oh, Vicki Jackson, 17346 Lee Court in Three Rivers. Rick, we'd like to welcome you to the community.
Thank you.
We have a lot of great groups with the Chamber. Dan runs the Chamber. We have Citizens Action Group, Robert Ray, and you'll be meeting all these people, but we just welcome you and thank you.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Could I say one more real quick? Robert Ray was sitting right here and he had to leave early. He authorized me to ask you to please, if you're available next Friday, come and address the CAG.
9:30
at the American Legion next
this
Friday.
This coming
no,
Friday.
If you're not available.
Friday
no.
coming.
Okay. I will be I will be on the John Day River. See, I didn't know I was going to have a job until today. I've already got you.
All right, we're going to hang out with him, yes. Actually, he should be doing it. It's a weed pull here in town.
Yes.
For Lapine.
9 to 12, and we got a few people coming from out of town. I don't have any signed up for Mintown yet, but the big lot on the other side of the street from Napa Auto Parts has noxious weeds and apple and stuff on it. We're going to clean those up. And from 9 to 12, then it'll be a big barbecue and some refreshments and stuff. It's we publicized it fair amount. There's some things out of bulletin boards, and we put out our email for the chamber.
So how many weeds do you have to pull to go to?
As many as you want.
Does it count if you pull them on your own property where you have plenty of them?
Aren't you going to be at the bicycle complex? So come on over and join us.
Okay, if there's no other public comment, we will move on to committee reports. John, do you have anything?
We are beginning to work on the zoning ordinances. So keep this in your prayers. It's a grueling work. We'll be doing that for the next year. And in the meantime, we're going to discuss BioGreen facility, industrial park. It's a little bit of a hot topic. Things like that. And we welcome any comments. Very rarely have we got comments from the citizens on the future planning and zoning for this town. So put the word out. Is that it?
All right. Have any other committee members out here need to Ted?
You should know better than to put me at the back of the agenda with all I have to present. But this is always presented to the city. The last committee meeting we had, I reported on my attendance at our RCDC meeting on wastewater and water funding issues in Pendleton. Mm-hmm. Extremely interesting meeting. And at the end of the committee meeting, not the RCAC meeting, Barb Ann Nelson Dodson threw a little monkey wrench in, or I think she figured it was. She turned in her letter of resignation from the committee, and she said at the insistence of her board, And I think that can also include the sewer board. They were very upset with the resolution, which didn't give her a vote on the committee. And so she did resign. She said she would try to come and be in attendance along with the manager for the water district if we had any questions of them in the future, but they would not be a part of the process. So with that, we move forward. The meeting in Pendleton was extremely interesting. I would hope that somebody from the districts went to the one in Salem. There was a one 2 days later in Salem covering the same topic. But the one in Pendleton had all your agencies, federal and state agencies that fund water and wastewater projects, and what programs they have available, and extremely interesting to me. And I thought it would be really advantageous for the districts to have been there, at least maybe the engineer, and maybe you went to one safe, I don't know, I wasn't there. But as an example, the last exercise they did, or the last session, was called a one-stop shop in which any district or entity, community that wanted to look for funding to increase their project could have a teleconference with all of the agencies involved. Mm-hmm. And they used an example, Wallowa, which had just a brief outline of what they're going to ask for additional monies, funding for a water tank and well. And then so all the agencies sat there and talked about this. Well, this would work here, but that may increase their fees to this level. But if they did this, they get a rebate, so it reduced it to this level. And it was just an excellent exercise in terms of what could happen for a district or a city asking for some funding. And I made one extremely good contact there. I already knew the people from RCAC, but the fellow from the League of Oregon Cities, I've got his name in here someplace. Anyway, he was sitting next to me. And I explained to him what our situation was with our water and sewer districts and the city, and the fact that we were hoping at some point maybe we'd be involved and absorbed into the city. He emailed me back the next week with House Bill 3617, which passed in the legislature in February and was signed in law in March, which seems to address our situation here quite explicitly. And the only bugaboo, I think, is the fact that that 40 acres of bare land that's in the water districts and sewer districts that's not in the city limits. If that were in the city limits, we could move forward with absorbing those districts the next day. I, instead of wanting to involve and save the city money, I didn't go to Jeremy with my questions on the legality. I talked to Representative Wisnant and said I was thinking of asking for the Attorney General's opinion if my interpretation of this was correct. And Representative Wisnant replied, no, don't ask the Attorney General. That'll cost you money. I'll have the Legislative Council research this. And then he hasn't heard back from the Legislative Council yet, but he also asked his staff to contact the League of Oregon Cities, and they answered the fact that they'd already had contact with me and LCDC, and their copies of their emails I sent this morning when I got them to Patty, and it should be available to city offices for anybody to look at and read, as well as House Bill 3617. Mm-hmm. It looks like we can streamline this process extremely well.
Thanks, Dan. That's really good information.
Good research on the map.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one addition to Ted, because I was involved with that last meeting as the agent of record for the city insurance, I was supplied the current benefit, workers' comp information, statistics. It also came from the sewer and water districts, as well as copies of their SDAO policies. That has all been submitted to city insurance services, and I'm awaiting their estimate of what the financial impact from the insurance perspective and benefits package would be on the city. A comment was made at the meeting by, not Marvann, but what was the other lady?
Donna.
Donna, that there's no way the city could match their retirement fund. It's giving really negative comments. Well, the fact is, I think that's not true. And CIS has got all the data, just all the package information. So once they get back, and that reminds me, I need to call, email them tomorrow and find out what the holdup is. But we will have, to the extent possible, numbers to what the financial impact to the city would be by assuming those districts from the standpoint of indemnity and benefits.
Okay. To add to that, I think one of the reasons she said they couldn't match is because employees and family members get full medical coverage.
What? Well, again, I mean,
and that's under the district.
Right.
Okay. But that's all the stuff you guys will be discussing in your committee. But did you have anything else, Ted?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Alrighty.
And thank you for sending me there. I think it will help us move forward in the process.
Okay. Any other committee members? I want to stay on committee reports. Just a moment. Any other committee members out there? I thought Stu.
Not on committee.
Oh, well, I was just making sure I caught all the committee members out in the audience, and then you're good to go, Steve.
Just on a comment?
Just on a comment,
Stu Martinez, good vibes. 1738, that's an indication that I think, unfortunately, you did have a lot on your plate tonight. You probably should have planned two meetings for what you tried to accomplish tonight. Meetings going this long, people tend to get distracted, you're not thinking clearly. So I move that you suggest that you adjourn, let everyone go home, and pick up at a later time, and welcome to Mr. Allen.
Well, we are just about to the adjournment point, so thank you. Council committee reports. Do we have any?
Well, Mayor and I attended the LIGI meeting yesterday, and the only thing going on is BioGreen and nothing else, unless it's something I...
Well, and maybe one more.
Yeah, I'll throw that in, too. Looks like the county says 4 months for final approval for all the permits, and 18 months for construction. They're looking at June of 2012 to be up and running, which is a 2-year time frame. The only other thing is that the people are doing the geothermal wells up at Newberry Crater. They're possibly looking at a location in the industrial park for extra facility if it works out, if they strike steam instead of oil. Got it steam. And other than that, we have a wonderful industrial park, and nothing else was happening at all.
I was going to mention also there was a company that had met with us before and is now interested in coming back in and using the excess steam from the biomass plant in terms of manufacturing.
I was in the middle of the lamb chops when that happened.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, the lunch you guys put up was top shelf right there. Very nice.
Pellets for industry.
Yes.
So that's a very good possibility also for the biomass. And I talked with Rob Broberg at the end of that meeting, and a couple, three of us were talking. And he's hoping for late September to break ground.
Yep. Okay. Any other council or committee reports?
I attended the CLIC meeting Thursday, June 3rd, Redmond, and there was a presentation by Brian Barr on climate change and what it may hold for the Deschutes Basin. And one of the things that he stressed is that the climate in the future will definitely be different than it is today, or what it will be tomorrow. And we're not going to be able to look back at the history and predict our weather, because that isn't going to work the way he says.
Except for
Alvin. Well, he looked outside and saw that it was changing. But he worked for a company called ClimateWise, and if the local community is interested, they'll work here and help us plan for the future, and it'll be at no cost to the community. And they passed two supplemental budgets, one on the general fund and one for special funds. And they put out the proposed budget for 2010-2011. And they passed it out for review and comments for changes before adoption. And as Councilor Hedges is our official representative, I gave her all the information that we had at that meeting. They approved an intergovernmental agreement with Bend, Jefferson, Cook counties, and cities within those counties to be implemented on July 1st about that. So that's coming along. And that is going to become the responsibility of COIC as of September 1st. Tom Moore gave a report on the neighborhood housing and a list of grants available, and that's in the packet that I gave to Councilor Hedges. And they're looking now for a name for the new transportation building. So if you're interested, get a hold of KYC or CYC and give them your...
I suppose Bam House
isn't... And starting in July, the board packet material will be made available online. That's it.
Okay, and you're right, that wouldn't work. It'd have to be Bat Cave. Okay, I have no committee report to make. We'll move on to staff comments. What?
No comments.
Rick.
Just a thank you, thank the council and the community for, you know, letting me come down here and work with you people. It's going to be challenging, it's going to be exciting, and but I like that stuff, and everyone here seems like great folks, and you all come at things a little differently, but that's okay, that's what makes the world. And I'm excited. It's going to take a month. When I joked about, you know, getting me through my other things, because I do have, this is a half-time job, and so I have other things, and, you know, I have meetings and things. I actually canceled one for tomorrow to be here and stuff, but so it'll take a month or so for me to get that stuff out of my, or 2 months, so that I'll, but I plan on being here on Wednesdays and Thursdays, or Tuesdays and Wednesdays, because your meetings, your committees, I noticed, tend to meet on Tuesdays or Thursdays, or Wednesday. So I cannot come to all your meetings. You have lots of meetings. And I'm just going to try to hit different ones. And I was hoping maybe at our next meeting, we had an hour work session, maybe. I don't know if you have one already scheduled, but at your meeting that's coming up in 2 weeks, because we obviously tonight didn't get a talk. I need to know more about what all you... I'm going to meet with all of you individually, and tomorrow got a couple of you lined up, and I've talked to a couple others. So it's going to be a little interesting for a few weeks as we...
And you'll play a hand in that. I see you and Luana working on agendas.
So,
yes. Yeah.
So, and we'll try to get to where we can have more time to talk a little. So.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for accepting the position. Jeremy.
Just a few reiterate among everyone that we need to be looking at the SDC ordinance under the MOU that we signed with the stakeholders. We are required to pursue implementation or the potential adoption of an SDC ordinance. Wanted to obviously draw to your attention these projects completed that you want to identify in your staff report. You probably noted we completed quite a few things, or at least we want to complete quite a few things over the past couple weeks. Water and sewer districts, I have not received the revised IGA from the water and sewer districts. Last I spoke with Christy Munson, their attorney, it was about maybe
two or three weeks ago, and I was to get a revised draft, and I've yet to receive that. I sent an email to her first of this week for a follow-up and have not heard back. As far as the resolution is concerned with the district's utilities resolution, it's unfortunate that she didn't participate in that discussion about the composition of the members. But, you know, she was obviously upset that she had a non-voting position. But if I recall correctly, that was intentional because the city council wanted the districts and the city to be kind of removed from it.
Right.
So anyway, just wanted to throw that out. Next item, I think we should amend the council rules now to provide that I do not have to attend the city council meetings unless requested by the city manager, the mayor, or the city council. And then finally, House Bill 3617, I think I completed a preliminary review with Adele on that particular House bill, and I believe that there were some elements that had no application, which meant that we could take advantage of it. But I will definitely skim it or look at it again and confirm. But my recollection is, and I think this was about 2 months ago, Adele, is this ringing a bell to you as well?
Well, it looked a lot different from in Ted's form than when
exactly.
It initially came and we talked about it.
That could be, and so I'll look at it again and see, because frankly that clearly impacts the analysis and the utilities committee as far as their recommendation. So I will look at it again and see if there is an application to our present situation.
Yeah, they've got a copy here at the at the city of Adele had, and I just got it. Don't you?
I forwarded on to LaWanna with her option of sending it on to whoever she wanted it.
My last comment is I will get together with Rick in the near future, and we will go through kind of the list of priorities or projects that I have, and he and I can work that out. So hopefully some of the stuff I can shift over to Rick and have him do.
Yeah.
So.
You know this is more than half time.
We had a meeting on May 24th regarding some issues with Councillor McAfee, and you stated that there would be a resolution or an outcome to that, and I haven't heard anything about it, and I think that the large crowd who was there would like to know what is the outcome.
That has not been determined yet, and that's all I'm going to say at this time.
When can we expect it, though? Are we going to meet as a council? Are you going to make a decision?
No, actually, I need to do some more research, and so I don't have a timeline. I will get that to you as soon as I can.
So just so that I'm clear.
I'm kind of having a hard time understanding.
So it wasn't resolved on that meeting, so I'm still on probation or still in, my integrity is still in question?
Mm-hmm.
Is this, I thought that we resolved this and that we were going to move on.
Well, that was the motion made.
I don't understand the question. Because I didn't remember that we were going to do any resolution. And so, just now when I said I need to do some more research, I'm thinking maybe I blew it. I need to go back and listen to the tape, to the recording, and see just what we did decide. Because the way I get punished so much, I'm not going to sit here and trust my memory and say, well, we decided such and such, so give me enough time to go back and re-listen to the tape. But that was my, well, I don't even want to say what my recollection was. I'll do my research and get back to you.
Patty?
I have some very detailed May 24th meeting minutes, if you want to look at those in draft form. That might help you. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Like a
I have completed the May 24th draft meeting minutes, and I have very detailed verbatim minutes, but now that they're going to need to be, condensed, you might want to look at them. I don't know if that'd be helpful for you.
Well, it probably would be helpful, but then we get into the thing of counselors reviewing minutes before they go out, and
it's just a suggestion.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion.
They're not going to be finalized.
But I don't even want to go there.
Okay.
I get beat up at every turn, and so I'm just being very cautious.
Excuse me.
But I appreciate that comment. I will have to think about it and see what I need to do. Again, like I said, I will go back and re-listen to the recording, but Adele made a very good motion at the end there, and I'm not going to comment further. I'd have to go back and listen to it.
It was not my intention to beat you up. I just don't remember any resolution.
Don't remember if we were going to make a resolution, so I have to go back and do my research, make sure that I didn't overlook or forget something. So, do you have anything else?
No.
Councilor McAfee?
No.
I have one. I'm very tired and I'm ready to go home. Councilor Garnett?
I have no comments.
All right, with that, I will entertain the motion to adjourn.
I want to say something.
Oh, okay.
Something very short and quick.
All right.
That my family's been under a heck of a lot of strain, and I really want this resolved.
Yes.
I am angry. I am frustrated. Everyone knows when Del's my wife. Mm-hmm. And if this doesn't get resolved soon, I can't tell you the strain this is on my family. Make a decision. Do something. Okay? Please. Because you're putting my family under a strain because you are stonewalled.
Like
so
I said.
Don't interrupt me when I'm talking.
I'm sorry.
I just want you to know how I feel. I've been very quiet. I don't say anything to anybody. But I'm getting very, very, very tired of this whole thing. All right? So please, do something. Get it done. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would so move.
One second. Thank you. Seconded. Roll call vote, please. Councilor Shields, yes. 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 Councilor Shields, yes